If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Dude, nah.
I have a microphone, and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
Let me give you one lesson in show business. When someone's down on the floor, kick them.
You can do what you want to us, but we're not going to sit here and listen to you badmouth the United States of America. Gentlemen!
And then funk breaks loose all over the place as the 46th Annual Grammy Awards continues right here on CBS.
And now...
So, Pluto's not a planet anymore. What's up with that?
You don't have to be a dick.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it's Tuesday the 3rd of Poon.
Hello, Poon.
What's happening, everybody?
What is happening? I have a new hero, a new guy to look up to, a new one to pattern my life after. I'm very excited about this.
Someone killed a bunch of humans?
No.
Oh.
It was a good guess. Just a guess.
It was a guess, I think.
I don't really admire serial killers. Don't get me wrong. I'm interested in them because it's fascinating that you're hardwiring your brain can go so wrong.
Right.
I'm interested in finding out what happened, like why they turned out the way they turned out, because it's a level of extreme that most people never approach. That's why I'm interested in it. But I certainly don't admire them. This guy is actually my hero. This is a guy I actually want to be like, because he is 37 years old. He lives in England. He has eaten nothing for the last 17 years.
Nothing at all?
There's more to that sense. He's eaten nothing in the last 17 years, but... one item, and it is Mars bars.
What? For 17 years.
No.
Breakfast, Mars bar. Lunch, I think I'll have a Mars bar. Dinner, you know what? Maybe some Mars bars tonight would be tasty.
Wow. How do you do that for more than 3 days?
Eating about 4,000 Mars bars a year.
Wouldn't
for 17
he be
years.
Unbelievably lacking.
Fat, diabetic?
Yeah, all of that. No protein, no vitamins.
There's peanuts. Mars has peanuts.
That's true.
I guess.
Well, that's some protein.
He says he does take vitamins. He does drink orange juice. But in terms of food, it's just Mars bars.
You should try that.
I'm close. I'm very close to that right now.
That's what I was thinking.
Wouldn't be much of a change.
I'm looking at his picture right now. And
is he fat?
No. I mean, he looks like a regular-sized dude.
Hmm.
How could you not be diabetic?
I know.
The
right?
amount of sugar that you're taking in, and orange juice, tons of sugar.
Sure.
It's all sugar.
My love of Mars bars started at school with one or two between meals. All my pocket money went on them, and one day I realized I couldn't get by without them. Now I can easily polish off 12 a day, more at weekends. I'm totally addicted. Isn't that wild?
Just Mars bars.
You know, I can get... being addicted to a food, but not to the exclusion of all other food.
Right. Because no matter how much you love Mars bars, it seems like you could have a hamburger for dinner and still have a Mars bar for dessert.
Right.
Yeah.
That's weird.
When you have the sweet, you crave the salty. So you think you'd want at least chips or something.
Usually.
Yeah.
Usually.
That is bizarre.
Lisa's talking about craving the salty and Gene Simmons is nowhere to be found. What the hell's going on here?
He's stunned by this guy's lack of nutrition. Yes. He can't get past that.
He's thinking, all the work I put into this, and this dude's eating Mars bars and he looks normal.
Yeah,
he does. He looks
amazing.
Fine.
That's BS.
It is BS.
I apologize, but I was like doing the math in my head, trying to estimate what a Mars bar has calorically and sugar-wise, and I'm thinking 12 a day. Looking at about, 2,800 to 3,200
How is he not enormous?
Calorie.
Go open your email, Mike. I just sent you a picture so you and Kevin can see the dude that we're talking about.
Okay.
I'm going to send it to you right now. But anyway, he's my guy. He's the guy that I'm going to pattern my life after. I think I'm going to start. But I got to decide what that one food is. I mean, on the fly, I'd say Oreos. I'd say that I could
All we hear about is your goddamn pot pies.
Yes.
But if you have a pot pie, then you still are going to be craving sweet. You know what I mean? I can't just live on pot pies because I got to have sugar too.
So you got to find something with sugar. So
that's why I think it's going to be Oreos. I think that's going to be my item. That's all I got.
But then you got, then it's just sugar.
Yeah.
Then you don't have the other stuff.
Well, I mean, if you could only pick one item, though, I'm just saying that's the one.
I'd go for the salt.
But I would think Mars bars would be much better than, you know.
Oreos?
Oreos.
Yeah, because there's not even peanuts in Oreos.
I'd probably go with peanut butter.
Well, yeah, but you're thinking
nutritionally.
What would be nutrition?
No, I mean, like, I'd go for, like, even
okay, but it's
low
one
grade
food.
Sweet peanut butter. I mean, because I could eat that literally every day. I don't think I'd get that bored of it. And it's
yeah. You just spoon up peanut butter every day? That's what
that.
You have?
I love peanut butter.
Peanut butter's awesome. I eat it a lot, too. Did you look at the picture?
Yeah, but you put it on something. You don't just
nothing.
Eat it.
I put it
well,
on
Well, you, but I mean everyone else, puts it on something.
He hasn't been. He's busy thinking about himself and what he would
yeah,
do.
That's why I can't understand.
No, but
why can't you talk and bring
can't.
Up your email at the same time? It's
I'm
not that
not
difficult.
That
he
talented.
Can't do that. What's wrong with you? Look at that dude.
He's not bad at all.
He looks normal, like a regular guy, right?
He lost his hair. Other than that, he's fine. Yeah, that's BS right there. Look at those Mars bars.
It's a lot of Mars bars in that picture.
Now I need a Mars bar.
It does look kind of good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
There
you go. There's your hero.
That's my guy.
I know none of you watched the NHL playoffs,
yes,
but
I did.
Triple overtime last
wow.
night.
Yeah, I didn't see the whole that's game.
Exciting.
I was watching it up until near the end, but then I had to go to bed.
I recorded extra. It was on NBC last night. So I recorded extra just to be safe, and then Access Hollywood just to be extra safe.
Right.
And then at some point in the game, I had to tape a Dateline NBC, and then we got about halfway through that, so I had to tape the next Dateline NBC.
Well, at least you're learning.
It was all night. Game started at 5 o'clock. It ended at almost 10.
Oh, my God.
And this
God.
Is what's awesome for folks who aren't following is that Pittsburgh loses, they're out. Detroit wins the Stanley Cup, so your back is against the wall. I mean, your season could be over. As hard as you've worked to get to this point, your season could be over in 1 minute unless you get hot, you know?
And when you get an overtime in the playoffs, it's full 20-minute period overtimes
right.
and sudden death. The first goal wins. So they're going crazy.
Yeah.
And everybody they're in Detroit, so everybody in Detroit's going nuts, and they're trying to cheer their team on, and that was awesome.
Pretty exciting.
Man,
it's unbelievable, yeah.
So Pittsburgh won, and it's going back to Pittsburgh. Now
that's right.
Now they're only down 3-2 instead of 3-1.
Yeah, a lot of Red Wings fans disappointed last night thinking that they were going there to witness them winning the cup, and instead they're going away and possibly could lose it. So.
I love it when the Red Wings are disappointed. That's the best.
Very exciting.
I do not like that team. They're like the Yankees in baseball. They have just an all-star lineup.
I think they've won, 10 or something like that?
Yeah,
11
something like
or something
that.
Like that? I know they have an unbelievable record.
They've had their share. You watch the all-star game, and then you look at the Red Wings, and you go, oh, same guys. How about that? All the same guys. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
Let's talk about Coldplay, who we had in the studio yesterday. They were fantastic.
They were.
Nice boys.
Yeah.
Very nice. We will give you some highlights of that coming up just after 6, half hour from now.
Mike and I were just talking right before we went on the air how interesting it is that when Gwyneth Paltrow, Oscar-winning actress, married Chris Martin, people were like, dude, did he score? And now he's a bigger star than she is. How weird that is that now she gets a little bit of luster from being married to the dude from Coldplay rather than the other way around.
Isn't that true?
Yeah. Mugs and Moose on the loose. That's Beer Mug and our intern Moose, who decided that after a Sex in the City screening is the perfect time to hit on women.
Brilliant.
Because it's your chances are way higher because
there's
a lot more women.
Are a lot of women, true.
A lot more women, and they're also a little bit, a little bit fired up. They're so excited. They got the adrenaline flowing because of the movie they've been waiting all these years finally came out. And there's lots of sex talk in the film. So you figured that they'd be, open for anything.
I figured that they would. I would guess that they would walk past me and go, dick. I think that would be the effect of the movie. Also, we are going to talk about the Chinese. They are making sure that the wrong element doesn't get in for the Olympics. I don't want the wrong element there.
Like what?
Like anybody with an STD, for example.
They're screening you for diseases?
I don't know how exactly, but yes, that's one of the things they're doing.
They don't want people – anyone who's mentally challenged, Lisa, is not allowed in China between now and the Olympics because they want to make sure that they can control and understand everything that's going on with the visitors to their country. Isn't that unbelievable?
How can they even –
I don't know.
I don't know how they
can do
that.
You have to take some kind of a test when you get in there.
And you have to bring papers
from
your doctor.
2 times 2 is – So anyway, that's this is going to be spectacular this summer.
Wow.
When is it? August?
Late, yes, early August 8th is what it
August
starts.
8th.
Yeah, Yeah, the Chinese, it's interesting because they're so used to kind of running their own show and doing it their way, and they don't have any of those pesky rules that we have, that we live by. So they're just used to doing whatever they want to do. And now they kind of have to mesh what's going on in China with what's going on outside of China because thousands and thousands and thousands of people are visiting due to the Olympics. And it's just, it's driving them crazy. I mean, you can't go over there to protest, for instance.
They don't want protesters. And I don't know how you test for that. I mean, I'm sure the protesters know that and are sneaking stuff in or whatever.
Exactly. And by the way, you can go over there and say you have no intent to protest, but you can still then buy a piece of cardboard and a Sharpie.
Yeah,
I mean, you can still create protest from inside the country.
Well,
so I don't know how they're going to do it.
But they'll put you in jail for life.
You will never be seen again.
Yeah,
there
might be a big deterrent there.
Yeah. So good luck with that.
Yeah.
The Lakers rivalry that starts this Thursday against Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy it. I don't buy it's a rivalry. I know it was in the 80s. I get that. But I don't think anyone alive, anyone playing today was even in the NBA then.
Oh, that's true.
Seems like it might be a little different.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that today.
They're selling it that way, I'll tell you that.
Hard. They're selling it hard. Jerry Acuna is going to talk to us today. He's from Penthouse Fantasy Productions.
Ooh, tell me more.
And they are going to provide the girls for you if you would like to direct your own lesbian porn movie.
Oh, no.
You don't even have to find the girls. So that seems only good.
Borderline prostitution.
No, I dare you.
The girls sharing a Mars bar. I'm going to have each of them start eating a Mars bar from one end of the candy bar and then see how it ends up.
I like it. Michael Jackson was too scared to go on American Idol. I don't know if you heard that. Ralph mentioned that yesterday. He was supposed to be on the final American Idol and apparently had stage fright. Afraid people would not accept him.
Wow.
So if only OJ would get that, then everyone would be happy. But anyway, we'll talk about that today as well. And we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat now.
I just suddenly felt very bad for you, Ralph Grumman. I was just thinking about your situation in the office. You're working in a hen house out there, aren't you? Especially this week with Sex and the City and all that chatter. You got Alex, you got Cleo, and you got Dave. You got the three of them just chatting behind you all the time.
That's true.
Don't feel bad for me. I enjoy the ladies.
Okay.
And Dave?
He's not filled with hate.
That's
like
what I said.
Two.
I enjoy the ladies.
But not when they talk like they do, Ralph. That has to be a deal breaker, right? I mean, Alex and Cleo, great to look at, but come on, shut up, right?
I enjoy our
Who's with me?
Our little...
Nobody. No one?
I enjoy our little group there in the office.
Who's with
fun.
Bean, oddly enough? Ever. Ever. We just give you a constant and forever no one.
Yeah. You can just take that as a given and just let that question go. You never have to ask who's with me ever again because now you know the answer in perpetuity.
Yesterday on the Kevin and Bean Show, we made the announcement that the band Coldplay is coming to the Forum. Finally, there is a Southern California date. We'll give you more details in about 15 minutes about ticket on sale and also how Coldplay can play your house. That's on the way just after the news at 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph's got our showbiz beat for Tuesday. What's happening?
Kelsey Grammer, former star of Frasier and Cheers and
that
live
show?
Live at 10.
Back to you,
whatever
right?
the hell that piece of crap was.
Back to you.
In the hospital.
Ooh, what happened?
In Hawaii, apparently he was paddleboarding, experienced chest pains, and it was discovered he had a mild heart attack out there in the ocean.
No kidding.
It's not where you want to have a heart attack, by the way.
No.
So he was helicoptered to Honolulu off of his second home in Kona. He lives in Kona. And it was determined that he had a small heart attack, but apparently he is recovering and is doing well and expected to be released today or tomorrow. So we wish him the best.
Terrific.
Oh, for God's sakes, I had a heart attack. Lindsay Lohan could be the next celebrity to come out of the closet, according to the New York Post.
Yeah, that would be a big surprise.
Lindsay Lohan!
Okay.
She reportedly is negotiating with OK Magazine to tell her whole lesbian story.
Huh.
A $1 million paycheck.
Really?
For her exclusive tales of lesbiosity.
Well, she needs to make money somehow.
It's true.
Don't we know the story that she's attracted to women?
You guys love lesbians.
Of
you don't
course.
Want to hear all the details?
But $1 million? No, I'm just saying. There's
she's
no story
She's not
going
to tell the good details to OK Magazine.
Right.
She makes a $1 million deal with Larry Flint. Then she's going to tell the good story.
I love lesbians.
Listen, she's not a lesbian either, by the way.
I know.
She's bi.
She's banging dudes forever.
Right.
It's convenient for her.
She
that's
just got, she gets turned on by this chick. She's just hanging out. Just let her be.
In case about it, she's a lesbian.
And she gets turned on by a chick who looks like a dude. So it's kind of...
It's dude-ish anyway.
Kind of a heterosexual thing.
Meanwhile, Lindsay reportedly has a problem with Ashley Olsen. Because word is Ashley also has a very close relationship with Samantha Ronson, the DJ that Lindsay has a crush on. And now there's sort of a three-way lesbian love triangle.
Excellent.
Airtight.
You can't be airtight with three girls, dude.
He doesn't know what that means. He just likes to shout it.
Random sex lines. Vulva! Shouts down.
Airtight! With four girls, you could, I guess.
We have to explain this to you off the air, Michael. There's nothing we can do for you.
You'd have to get a just a litany of toys and gadgets in order to become airtight with three girls.
Vacuum seal.
The wang bone. Chicks dig the wang bone.
That's what I understand.
Nicole Kidman seems like a classy broad, doesn't she?
Totally.
Yeah, she does.
Here's the thing about her, though. Apparently, when she was growing up, she was quite the outlaw. She was quite the naughty little teenager.
Really?
Yeah.
Played by her own rules, did she?
She did. She told the New York Post that she's been acting since she was 14, by the way, professionally. And in the course of her wild teenage years, she had been in contact with every drug under the sun.
Nope.
Yeah, that's hot.
She was quite the little party minx.
Wow.
She said she never got addicted, however, because she always hated the crash after the high wore off, the depression she would feel after she came off something. And she hated that feeling so much, it kept her from continuing to do drugs.
Yeah, some people don't think the high lasts long enough to make it worth what you have to go through afterwards. That's a good point.
Pussies. Look, if you want anything good in life, you have to earn it. You got to go through the hard parts to get to the good parts. And if I quit drinking after every bad hangover I had, I'd never drink again.
And everybody knows the key to that is just to have another drink.
That's right. Just keep chasing the dragon,
and
my friends.
And you don't feel that way.
TMZ.com reports that Clay Aiken is expecting a bouncing baby boy.
Oh, how sweet.
I did mention last week that Clay impregnated his best friend, James Foster, 50-year-old sister to legendary producer David Foster.
Yeah, that's hot.
TMZ says they know the sex of the baby, and it will be a boy. The boy will be the first boy ever in the Aiken family. So congratulations to the Aikens on having a boy. Speaking of boys, Hulk Hogan's soon-to-be ex-wife Linda has a new boyfriend. Apparently, she was in Vegas over the weekend with her new boyfriend Ryan, who is, wait for it, 19 years old.
Oh.
And how old are her sons?
19 years old.
Dude.
Good for her.
So Hulk Hogan is banging his daughter's best friend, and Linda, his 50-ish soon-to-be ex-wife, has a new 19-year-old boyfriend.
You got to be cool and eat fruit.
Why don't you be cool and eat fruit over there with your family, Mr. Hogan?
No kidding.
That's quite a
apparently, Linda was bummed because she was in Vegas for the weekend. She couldn't show him off at all the clubs because, of course, he hasn't reached the milestone of 21 yet in order to be able to get into any of them. So they spent a lot of time at Circus trying to toss rings over soda bottles and win a stuffed gazelle.
Wow.
Ass.
Look, I understand wanting to date someone much younger. You're recently single. You've been involved in a marriage for a long time, and now you can go out there and party with a young stud, right? I can understand that. But there's got to be some creep factor when the kid is the same age as your son or daughter, doesn't there?
Oh, I would think so, yeah.
Well, apparently, the Hogans pursue that.
Yeah, like it sounds like
there.
It.
They're trying to, I don't know, attach themselves in some weird way to
yeah,
the kids.
Yeah, true.
It's very odd. I love finding out little-known facts about celebrities that you've known forever. Like that whole Nicole Kidman story. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought she was a big druggie when she was a teenager? This is interesting. Mm-hmm. Danny Glover. You know Danny Glover Lethal Weapon movies.
Like him.
He was Murtaugh.
Terrific actor.
In all those films. Yep. And he's done a bunch of good movies. He, of course, famous actor, action star. Before that all happened, he was a hippie.
What?
Lived in a commune in San Francisco in the 60s.
Have an afro?
Oh, you know he did. You know he was rocking a major Dr. J.
How about that?
He used to live there with his best friend, Boz Scaggs.
No
musician
kidding.
Boz Scaggs.
I thought we were talking about Danny Glover.
We are.
Oh.
And he said he had a close relationship with Janis Joplin, legendary 60s singer, Janis Joplin. He would send her a bottle of Southern Comfort anytime she came to San Francisco to perform, they would get together. That's just what she needed, a bottle of Southern Comfort.
Sure.
That's kind of cool that he had that sort of alternative, different life and then became a big mainstream movie star. How about that? Melissa Gilbert, you know her from Little House on the Prairie. She was Half Pint on that show for many years.
Sure.
Returning to Little House on the Prairie.
What?
They're doing another one?
They're doing a staged musical version of Little House on the Prairie.
Really?
Easy.
So exciting.
Easy. And she is returning to perform as Ma Ingalls, the mother of the Ingalls clan, in that stage musical.
Huh. Stupid Lisa!
Everything come full circle, folks.
Practically everyone who's acted in, produced, or even seen a play is gay.
That's true.
That is true.
And speaking of Homer Simpson, we just heard from there, the Hollywood Reporter tells us this morning that the producers of The Simpsons have come to a deal, a new 4-year contract with the cast members of The Simpsons. Each of the actors who portray the voices on that show will receive $400,000 per episode.
$400,000 a year.
$400,000 per episode of The Simpsons.
So that would be for a whole season they'd get that much money. To go in there for 15 minutes
and
a week.
Every episode would pay them the sum of $400,000.
Wow.
So let's say they were to do, I don't know, they'll do more than this, but 10 episodes of The Simpsons next
season.
They'd
get more than $400,000?
They would get 10 times $400,000 or $4 million.
Wait, so they'd get the $400,000 for each of the episodes?
That's what I'm trying to get at here.
That seems like a whole bunch.
That's a grip load of money. Is
must be making it, though, or they wouldn't,
yeah,
exactly. They wouldn't pay
oh,
it.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
It's an empire, yeah.
Can you repeat the part of the stuff where you said all about the things?
Yes, you get $400,000, Homer.
They don't write the episodes, so they go in and they read them around a table one day, and then they go in and record them in a recording booth another day, and total time for them in a week is what, 2 or 3 hours?
Probably.
Yeah.
The human wang is a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is, Homer. I don't know what that has to do with anything.
By contrast, Charlie Sheen, the highest paid sitcom star on television, earns $350,000 per episode. So now The Simpsons are, in essence, the highest-paid sitcom stars on television.
How about that?
How about that?
How about that? And Charlie's working probably 4 full days, I would imagine, for that amount of money.
Probably 5.
Well, when he gets maybe into 5, season 15 or whatever it is, he'll make that much money,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I guess so.
The Simpsons I'm number one. Victory is mine.
Yes, you are.
So kiss my behind.
Okay.
Boom, chaka-laka-laka. In
Homer.
Your face.
All right.
Boo. Cha. Ka-cha-ka-cow. Ba. Boo. Ba. Who's your daddy?
You're
got it. A lot of money. We got it.
Wow.
Very impressive.
Kiss it.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Billy Powell of Lynyrd Skynyrd is 56 years old today.
Really? He makes the list?
Shows you what kind of day of birthdays it is.
Wow.
Kerry King of Slayer.
Yes, of
Slayer
course.
Is 44 years old today.
Mike loves himself to Kerry King.
And newsman, bluesman Anderson Cooper is 41 years old today. Anderson Cooper. That's the fellow the ladies were going for nuts in the other room. Woo, Anderson Cooper, he's dreaming. It's like, ladies, he plays for the other team. But they say, we don't care. He's dreamy.
They think they could turn him, or they just like him because they probably think they could turn
him. They probably think they could turn him.
Sure.
Maybe Alex and Cleo combined, teaming up on him. That might work.
I mean, he is a smart, articulate, well-dressed, good-looking dude. I can understand why the ladies would enjoy him, but they have to know that that's a dead end.
Yeah, but it's not like we're actually ever going to have him regardless, so we can still admire how handsome and smart he is.
That's true.
Right. Like me and Portia de Rossi.
Exactly.
I can just look from afar and say, Portia de Rossi. Of course, Portia de Rossi never hosted The Mole. So
no, that's true.
Anderson Cooper's got it all over her.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First time for Mugs and Moose on the Loose. Beer Mug, our intern, and Moose, our intern, decided that it would be a perfect night on last Friday night to wait outside of a movie theater. And when the Sex and the City lets out, nothing but women.
True.
I agree. That sounds like terrific logic. Moose, I totally understand where you guys were coming from.
Yeah. I mean, Moose is in a fraternity. He told us recently that he has not been laid in 2 years, and he's in a fraternity. And we said, well, you must not have any game. Oh, I have great game. I have really good game. I'm
I'm gay-malicious. I don't think he said that, but that was the idea.
No,
but
he definitely claimed that he had great game. Right? That was not the problem.
So what but was the problem?
Friday night, though, it was shooting fish in a barrel. There were so many women. I mean, you had to be, I don't know who went down there, how small your group was, but you had to be the only man as far as the eye could see when that theater let out, right?
Yeah, it was pretty good odds. The only issue were the random boyfriends.
The random boyfriends
usually,
that got dragged.
Usually would have the quality catch.
And the random boyfriends would go with them to the movie?
There were some guys. Is that what you're saying? Women emailed me. Yeah, there were some guys. Yeah.
There were just a few, but there were some guys there. And, they, you know, like Moose said, unfortunately, the hottest chicks tended to be the ones with that brought along a guy.
Okay, but you're not looking for the hottest chicks. You're looking for shooting fish in a barrel.
Right. Like you said, the odds were very high.
So Psycho Mike went down there with the two guys to try and help.
And we loaded them up with some hidden microphones. And you do the math. It's Moose and Mugs. You can guess how it went. This is their first attempt. Some ladies were walking back towards the parking lot. They assumed that they had already seen the movie. And, you know, the first attempt didn't go too poorly.
I just scoped out a hottie with her ugly friend. You get the ugly friend, I'll get the hottie, okay? Hi, ladies. So, were you guys lucky enough to get tickets for the showing?
No, we're actually going to a different theater.
Oh, bummer.
We don't want to.
Where are you guys? Yeah. What theater are you guys going to?
I think Century City.
You need escorts?
we
can take you there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Moose is a great driver.
I am.
I think
okay.
Thank you.
Think about it.
I will.
All right.
All the way up to the car, I'll think about it.
Wow. Okay, well, that was, I mean, they were polite. It's not like they spit in your face or anything like that.
Not horrible.
An acceptable exchange.
Didn't work out, but it was okay.
Moose didn't exactly push it along in the right direction. But
no, but on the second attempt, Moose breaks the ice here, and he does a pretty good job. And then Johnny follows up with nonsense.
Johnny being beer mug.
Beer mug, yeah.
Hi, are you coming to see Sex in the City?
Yeah, I am.
Awesome. Cool. It's rough in Hollywood here.
What? What does that mean?
What does it's rough in Hollywood here mean?
To be a single woman?
Why would he say that?
I don't know.
Was Moose was Beer Mug drinking?
Beer Mug drank all the way there and had a pimp chalice ready right there with him, and he was drinking as he was talking to these women with a cigarette dangling on his mouth. He was a mess.
Good. Wow, women love that.
They do. Women love that.
Good thing he just starts to establish himself as the leader here.
Okay.
Now, Muggs really starts to establish himself, and he's given up on Sex in the City talk. He's just going into Beer Mug mode.
Ladies, what flavor juice are you drinking?
I don't understand that question.
Yeah.
Were they drinking something?
What flavor juice? Ugh. They have juice boxes in their hands?
Lightning and I were hiding, so this is all them.
Did he have an alternate juice he was going to suggest they drink next? Is that where he was headed with that?
I know what it sounds like.
I think so, and as Moose will agree with me, Muggs started to get increasingly more crude as the night went on, and he started to feel the effects more and more.
Yeah. Unfortunately, liquid courage for him turns him ugly.
Yeah. Let me ask Moose this, since your partner in crime that night was Beer Mug. Now, Beer Mug is a guy who really does well with the ladies. Did you feel like you could learn anything from him, or is his technique, Moose, so different from the way you're comfortable handling things that it was kind of a washout for you?
All I've got to say is aim low. I think he definitely...
He aims low?
Yeah. You know, I think, as you might see later, there's some girls that may not have gone for. May not have
been. Yes, and he's getting sex and you're not.
Yeah, there is that.
Mm.
Well, Moose is exactly right. Muggs has established himself as a leader, but he's not discriminating at all. He's going up to the plate and he's swinging at every pitch.
But I'm saying, this is the battle, though, of would you rather have no sex or sex with a fat chick? I mean, that's basically what it boils down to.
Well, listen to this next clip.
Excuse me, sir. You want to see Sex in the City? All right. Damn it. Getting rejected by the homeless.
Male bums. He's hitting on.
Excuse me, sir.
Wow.
Do you want to see Sex in the City? What kind of...
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I don't even understand that.
Take
the guy says yes. What's he going to do? Buy him a ticket? And how does that help?
Now, I think this, out of all of their attempts all night, this was their best.
Okay.
And it was actually a pretty good line. But a lot of times it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
I actually have a bootleg copy of Sex in the City at my house. I actually don't live too far away from here.
That's great.
Would you guys like to come?
No.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Way to add on there, Moose.
That's not horrible. Just to get a conversation going.
I mean,
it's creepy. It's really hard to get a conversation going with somebody out of the blue.
Yeah.
It's hard to get somebody to come to your house that you've known 15 seconds,
yeah,
too.
That's not
sure.
That's
but a
true.
Lot of the girls were getting turned away from the theaters, from the show they wanted to see because it was too full. He has a bootleg copy.
Okay.
I mean, I was actually like, hey, that's not that bad.
Okay.
Yeah. By this point of the evening, Beer Mug is officially S-faced.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
And Well, listen to this.
Hey, good evening.
Hi, ladies.
Ladies.
Would you like a man movie?
My man Moose and I here are a purveyor of grade A man meat. You guys interested?
All right.
Yeah.
Grade A man meat.
If they didn't hate men before they went into Sex and the City, they sure hate them afterwards running into you guys.
And Moose, your addition to everything at the end is...
He was trying to play the shy guy, I think. Am I right?
No, I was trying to play the more suave, meaning not belligerently drunk. As you could see, I started that one, but
yeah, Muggs you did.
Tends to interject.
And he ran right
see,
over
you. Once you get running on something, you don't want to just cut the guy off in the middle.
You might have one to do there.
Right,
you know. But after purveyor of grade A man meat, you could have followed up with, oh, my friend's drunk, don't listen to him, and then been the gentleman, but you followed it up with, aha. Now, this doesn't even make sense. I don't even know where Muggs
is. Hello, ladies. Hi, how you doing? Looking fantastic. Are you here to see Sex in the City?
Yeah.
Ooh, I could be your sex and your city. All right.
What the hell is he talking about, Mug?
I love that all right at the end. Like, all right. Yeah, I'm smooth.
Yeah,
all
right. I could be your sex and your city.
That doesn't make any sense. And Moose, I disagree with the guys here. I think you were smart to stay as far away from fucking this game as possible.
Now, at this point in the night, Moose doesn't even really follow Muggs up to the lady. He's given up. I mean, he's like, yeah, I'm doing more damage by being, you know, associated with Beer Mug. And these three beautiful black women come up to see the movie, okay, and they're dressed to the nines.
All right.
And listen how Beer Mug puts us all two steps back on the social ladder.
Ladies of Flava, how you doing?
Oh, no.
You Sex and the City fans?
Yeah, of course.
Can I be the cream in your coffee? I'm just going to cut to the point, cut to the chase. You ladies, Sex and the City fans?
No. Dude, she's pregnant. We can do better than that. Pregnant's no good.
She's pregnant. We can do better than that.
I don't know.
That.
By the way, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the problem, that she was pregnant. Ladies, it wasn't you.
Did he say ladies of Flava?
Yes, he did.
F-L-A-V-A.
Is that what he said?
Oh. That's awesome.
Ladies of Flava is
I'd like to
awesome.
Be the cream in your coffee.
Now, Moose, you were pretty upset when he started hitting on male bums, but I think he took it to a whole new level when he approached Maxie.
Do you have an escort to go see Sex in the City tonight? Would you like to go see it with me?
I also have to take a rain check. I kind of like doing what I want to do on my own.
All right, Maxie. Love you. I'm not even good with the transvestites.
Yeah.
That was a transvestite?
Wow. A horribly ugly transvestite with a yoked out pimp in camo, like a camo... Like a out pimp smoking a cigar and
big gap tooth. It was awesome.
Moose says, you know, our Mug says, you know what? No problem. Like I said, he's like a wily Dominican baseball player fresh into the major leagues. He's just going to swing at every pitch.
Sure. Yeah. Well,
last line of the night, he's officially just given up trying. Now he's just showing off for the camera.
I got something with your name all over it. It's called a roofie colada. Does that work? Doesn't work? To save it for somebody else.
That's quite a threat, Moose.
I think we've learned two things here when you're trying to pick up girls. One is don't drink too much. I think that's clear.
Right.
Sure.
And two is do not include the word roofie. I don't think that fills them with confidence. So how many girls did you get numbers from, Moose?
None.
But oh, I'd because say, you didn't need a
Mike
number because you
I
just
had
took
a
them
wonderful
home.
Dinner after that.
You went out to dinner
are
with Mike?
Are you guys going to go on a second date?
We'll pay for it if you guys want to go out again.
Yeah, but he better put out this time.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Here's a shocker. Allie Lowen's acting like a diva.
What?
That's Lindsay's sister?
The younger sister of Lindsay Lohan and the daughter of Dina Lohan is apparently becoming quite the spoiled little brat on the set of her reality TV show, Living Lohan.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Yeah,
that surprises me coming from that family because they're usually so well behaved.
I know, and given the... Now, her mom is such a down-to-earth, sort of grounded person. I'm surprised she allows her daughter to behave in such a way in front of strangers.
You mean the mom who reads the tabloids every day to see if her kids are being mentioned in it?
Sometimes I'm going to have to sue because I have to control it because I'm a manager. Because I'm a showbiz manager.
I just caught up with that show over the weekend.
It's pretty hateable.
Wow, are they hateable.
Don't you want to punch her right in the head?
And my that God. Girl
Listen,
is
sweetie,
14?
I can't manage you now because I can't give you the attention you need. I've got so many clients on my plate already. No, you just have a kid. You have one kid who's famous and talented, and you're living off of her like a barnacle.
Yeah.
Ralph, I mean, you know showbiz. Wouldn't you say that as a manager, she's doing the worst thing for her clients by doing the show? But, I mean, I think Lindsay has tremendous talent, and, you know, although she hasn't been doing herself any favors lately, this is the worst thing ever because it just makes the Lohan family look 10 times worse.
She doesn't care. She just needs to get her younger daughter into the spotlight, and she's willing to do it any way she can.
It's
the same
thing
Joe Simpson did with Ashley. Remember, right. Nobody knew who Ashley was. It was all about Jessica, so he created a reality show about her recording her album just to get her some attention. And to a certain extent, it worked.
Yep.
I think she wants to be in the spotlight, and she's willing to use her kid to do it. I mean, you get the idea watching her that she loves it.
Well, they both do. I mean, they're both just, the whole family's just nuts to be Lindsay. They just want to have that sort of attention and that sort of, fame. And it's just tragic because they can't even see clearly enough to recognize what that fame attention has done to Lindsay, which is F her up.
How about some teenagers?
Significantly.
The only one who looks good in this reality show is Lindsay because she's wise enough to not appear on it.
Yeah.
So apparently, and not unexpectedly, Allie Lohan is becoming quite the little diva. She's like 14 or something. She should just
be. She acts like she's, 25.
She's signing autographs in this bowling alley as if she's somebody.
Yeah.
She believes she is.
She does. Too.
It's one of those things where she knows she's going to be famous because the whole family deserves it. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
She's one of those dumb, obnoxious Long Island girls, too. I don't know how much you know about the East Coast, but there's certain crowd of the Long Island girls who are just the gum-chewing, big earring-wearing, giant-haired, bad grammar-having bitches.
It's the Britneys of the East Coast.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Ashley Simpson, speaking of Ashley, according to Star Magazine, is worried about her baby's looks.
Already?
Yeah.
The kid's born with her old nose.
What?
Oh, the kid's not even born
not
yet.
Born yet. Right. She's pregnant, but she hasn't had the baby yet, but she is concerned.
Right. What?
Well, she had the plastic surgery, for her nose.
Right.
And she's concerned that the kid will get stuck with her old beak because she hated it so much. So now
she had plastic surgeons looking into her womb?
She has prenatal worries about her child's nose.
Okay. That is the most important thing about kids.
You can dance noses. Everything will be fine.
Jude Law and Kimberly Stewart are freaking people out.
Why?
They're a new couple. According to Star Magazine, everywhere they go, they are well into public displays of affection. Mm. There's a photo in Star Magazine that shows the two of them practically crawling down each other's throats. And they say people around them are starting to get a little bit uncomfortable.
Good times.
Kimberly Stewart's Rod Stewart's little daughter, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
She's a kid. She's in her 20s, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Jude Law apparently will just nail anything with a pulse, so God
Pretty
bless
much,
him.
Yeah.
God bless them all. Sad news today. It's not really showbiz news, but I couldn't help but mention the fact that the creator of the Pringles can has passed away.
That is sad.
89-year-old retired chemist Dr. Frederick J. Bauer invented the Pringles tube back when he was working for Procter & Gamble.
Jack Bauer's
father. Before that, there were no tubes.
For that, there was no tube, Lisa. You never ate chips out of a tube.
Nope.
He invented the chip tube.
Yeah. Well.
He considered it his proudest achievement.
Chips aren't cracked or crumbly.
That tube has saved your Pringle experience more times than you could possibly imagine.
Absolutely.
It keeps the integrity of the Pringle intact, and it provides incredible vacuum-sealed freshness. One of the great inventions, the Pringles tube.
Now that's a good use of airtight.
Right?
Now you got it. Right. Now you're getting it.
Dr. Frederick Bauer passed away this week, and I s you not.
He was not buried in a... No, he wasn't.
His ashes?
Nope.
Were buried...
In a Pringles.
In a Pringles can.
Sure.
Yay! Original flavor, does it say?
I think he was salt and vinegar.
Salt and vinegar.
Yeah.
Nice.
Frankly, gives me the willies.
Yeah. Buried in the tube.
All right.
In Arlington Memorial Gardens.
He may have been too happy with the tube.
It was his proudest moment. His proudest achievement.
Speaking of burying the tube, Lisa May.
Look at that. That's actually rather clever.
That's a twofer there in one
Thanks.
Showbiz beat.
Thank
All right,
you very much.
That's okay. We got it.
Mike must have had his creatine this morning or something. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lynyrd Skynyrd, keyboardist Billy Powell. Is 56 years old today.
I don't know that he still makes the list.
Yeah, probably not. Kerry King of Slayer.
Ah!
is 44 years old today. Newsman Anderson Cooper turns 41. And Denise Williams. Are you familiar with Denise Williams? You know who Denise Williams is?
Denise Williams. No, I don't remember.
She was a popular recording artist in the 80s.
Sounds familiar.
String of hits. Her biggest hit probably came off the soundtrack for the motion picture Footloose.
Oh.
Let's hear it for the boys. Oh, yeah.
PGC, I still love that song. From Nisi. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
Okay. Oh, I don't know that. Come on.
That's from Bean's earlier days, by the way.
Why?
Bean, I reject you totally.
What a radio cheese ball you are. You make Rick D's seem quiet and reserved.
Why does Bean suck so bad? Why does Bean suck so bad? Why does Bean suck so badly?
I didn't know Bela Lugosi was recording.
Self have Ralph re-record that.
Yeah,
as a listener,
do a cover version of that. Ralph Garman, I walk the show.
Let's talk about China. They are they like to control things. They're not big on the whole democracy thing. They're not big on the whole First Amendment right, speak your mind thing.
Right,
not so much.
As a matter of fact, even if you get a ticket to the Olympics, doesn't necessarily mean you'll get a visa. To get into China.
Well, they're screening everyone,
that,
I guess.
That makes sense, by the way. We would do the same thing in this country with Olympic tickets, I think.
Do you have to register with police upon arrival?
No, that's not the American way, no.
No. They do not have permission to go into areas that the government says they can't go into.
Really?
There are activities that are being demanded that not happen, from sleeping outside to protesting, of course.
Of course.
They're very worried about the Tibetan, you know, protesters.
Right.
And if you have a sexually transmitted disease, apparently you're not welcome either. Or retarded, both.
That's the one that caught my attention. Those two. How do you scream for something like that? So we had many, many questions. I've been to the official website of the Beijing 2008 Olympic Games, by the way, which is Beijing2008.cn. I did not get my questions answered there, so we asked producer Alex Delanoff, the Minister of Tourism for the great country of China, and we have with us now Hu Jia Wang on the phone. Hu Jia Wang. Good morning, Mr. Wang.
Hey! You go.
We go good.
Do we have it right? Did we summarize accurately what's going on with the government's position there toward American visitors for the Olympics this August?
It's not just American visitors. It's any visitor to China.
Okay.
We have to keep a close eye on you.
Uh-huh. Right.
So you don't F things up.
But how do you check, for example, for sexually transmitted diseases? You give everybody at the airport some kind of test?
Listen, shut up. Okay?
Sorry.
Listen.
He just asked a question.
Shut up!
Okay. Fair question.
This how it go, okay?
Right. Okay.
We make sure that there are no perversion, no subversion, no version of any kind.
Okay.
No version.
All right.
You don't let virgins in?
No, not version, version.
Version.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So we have to make sure that there are no mentally ill people come.
Now, how do you test for that?
You say, hi, are you mentally ill? And they go, no. And they say, okay, welcome to China.
All right.
And then, but if they go, hi, they go, hi, are you mentally ill? And they go, blah, 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 blah. Then I don't let them in.
Okay, I guess that's a pretty good policy
that's
then.
Simple enough.
All right.
And the sexually transmitted diseases, I still didn't understand your answer.
Oh! We can't put that on the air, sir.
What?
We have rules. We have rules here in America. You could say sex, but you can't say the word you said.
Oh, okay. I'm confused. That's a name here.
It is. That's true. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So is Wang, come to think of it. Hey,
I will personally have sex with every one of the sexy ladies who want to go to Olympics.
I see where this
and
is going.
If I end up with a rash, you can't come in.
Okay. So what do they get? Put in a holding tank for
a
couple of days?
That's the Hu Jia Wang test.
Hu Jia Wang test.
Hu Jia Wang.
Okay.
All right. Okay. What about sleeping outdoors? I mean, a lot of tourists like to save money by maybe camping out under the stars. Hotels are very expensive in China.
A lot of tourists like to save money by sleeping outdoors. A lot of homeless people like to save money by sleeping outdoors, too.
Well, I guess they're...
We don't want your American homeless problem here.
All right, so no insulting banners, no attacking referees, no smoking.
That's right. You can never insult any of our banners. There's no insulting banners. No way whatsoever. We will not accept that.
Okay, I read that differently.
Do not be rude to a banner.
Okay. No smoking, no lighting fireworks.
No smoking, that's right.
Okay.
You can't attack the players.
Can't attack the players.
No attacking Olympians.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
No lighting fireworks, Kevin.
All right. Jack. How do you know I do that?
You're famous for it. What? Everywhere.
In China?
Yes. No. All the communist newspaper. I have a big picture of you with really? Big line through it.
You know what?
Fireworks guy.
I think that's wise because I think Kevin's probably thinking about trying to go to the Olympics. So good thinking there.
And public hygiene also very important.
Public hygiene?
Yeah, we ask everyone use deodorant.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Trust us. We know. We have like 9 gazillion people live in this country.
Yeah, that's true.
We are very close together.
You need to
when you smell like garlic and dog, you want to make sure everybody well bathed and use some sort of cover-up stick.
Yeah, I would double-check the Europeans on that one.
No, and there's no peeing either. You can't pee in the streets.
That's not what
that's
I was,
what I'm saying.
That's not what I was saying at all.
You just said it.
Yeah.
Is this a complete list of things that we can't do in your country, or is there more?
There's no pooping on the streets.
Well, who would want to do that?
All right.
I don't know, just in case. You got to cover all the bases, you know?
Okay, no pooping.
And you cannot grab some of guy's junk randomly on the train.
What?
Okay.
Found out the hard way.
Oh, really?
Oh, all right.
You did that, huh?
He seemed very upset with me. I was just being friendly.
But you're the Minister of Tourism. How do you not get away with that?
I'm Hugo Wang.
That's what I hear.
That's what I said.
That's what I heard.
I'm Hugo Wang.
Right.
It can't be more appropriate than Hugo Wang.
I hear
your
you.
Junk.
Well, you would think, right?
I'm just comparing.
Right.
Okay. I didn't mean to be insulting.
Okay.
Just wanted to know if he was Hugo Wang.
And was he?
No, I'm Hugo Wang.
Okay.
Hi.
Good to hear. Thank you.
So, game one of the NBA Finals is going to be Staples Center Thursday night. Is that right?
Yeah. Staples Center.
Boston's in town?
Boston's in town.
For the rivalry of all time. It is considered to be one of the great sports rivalries of all time, if you're old enough to remember it.
Yeah. Here's how ABC's selling it.
In one of the most anticipated matchups in finals history, two of the game's great franchises write the next chapter in their storied rivalry. The NBA Finals. Lakers. Celtics.
Okay, here's my thing. And I love the Lakers. And I remember some of the 80s rivalries. I hated the Boston Celtics. I hated them. They got Larry Bird and Tall Dude Parrish and Danny Ainge. And
Hated
them. They were very ugly.
Ugly yeah. team.
But and I remember the hatred. We had Magic and Kareem and all that. But that was almost 25 years ago.
25 right. to 20 years ago. You know, the heat of the rivalry, yeah.
But bear in mind that the network, their job is to frame it somehow to make it more compelling for people to tune in. They're looking for the hook. And the hook is, hey, thank God we have two teams playing that have a history, that have played together in the finals many times before.
Right.
Gives us something to talk about leading up to the game before there's any actual action to describe.
Right, but I'm saying I don't buy the rivalry. I mean, I know it used to be. I know. I have a list here from 1958 through 1970. For like 11 or 12 years, the Lakers and the Celtics were in the finals against each other. And that's a rivalry.
That's
and then,
huge.
And then in the 80s with Magic and Kareem, it was 83, 84, 84, 85, and 86, 87.
Wow.
The Lakers beat the Celtics for the championship 2 out of 3 years. But 1986 was the last time that happened, so it's been 22 years now.
Dude, those right. people in Boston have very long memories.
So here's ESPN.
There's a lot of history there. An LA-Boston Finals is like an old song on the radio. It takes you back. And I know what you're saying. Bird and Magic won't make a single basket in this series. And you're right. I've said the same thing.
If they would put Bird and Magic in, I would be excited.
They're aging just like the rest of us. But when we relive their legendary games, we recapture a bit of our own youth. And that's what makes it special.
Nope.
All right. Let me ask it this way. And by the way, if you have a comment on whether their rivalry actually exists, whether it's more significant to be playing Boston than it would be to be playing any other team, we'd like to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Or if you agree with Kevin, you say there is no rivalry there anymore and it's just manufactured by the media, we want to hear from you too. But let me ask you this, Mike, because you went to a lot of Laker games this year. When Boston came to town earlier, and what did they play? Two regular season games at Staples Center this year?
Yes, yeah.
Was it electric? Was it different? Did it mean – was it more significant than having any other of the Eastern teams come out? Is it different going to see a game against Boston versus, say, the Knicks?
100%. There is just something understood and special about
Boston stepping on the court to play the Lakers, and vice versa when the Lakers go into Boston. I understand where Kevin's coming from. I mean, it has been a long time since there was a heated, meaningful rivalry where they were meeting in the finals or meeting late
and
in the playoffs.
And none of the people that are currently involved, none of them.
Were involved? You're right. None of them
were
on the court.
Involved?
Sure.
Ever.
But a lot of them are old enough to remember. And they're all, most of the guys in the NBA are obviously basketball fans. So Kevin Garnett, believe me, when he steps on the court Thursday night, understands what it meant when the Lakers and the Celtics were having those battles in the 80s.
Many of the current Lakers were in grade school the last time the two teams met in the finals.
It was exciting to watch, you know, growing up as a kid and you know, just despising the Celtics and, you know, the great players that they had.
I mean, Kobe Bryant's exactly my age.
We were
I know,
in grade school.
And I still, although we were young, he remembers, believe me, he understands because he watched those battles and how heated it got and how unbelievably contentious not only the Boston players and the Laker players were, but the fans.
But do you think that that contention is carrying over for 22 years later? Really?
Sure, sure.
Let me just start by saying I am not a fan of statistics that I find stupid. And past years, oh, they haven't beat that team in a year and a half. To me, it seems dumb unless you're talking about this year with these people and this chemistry. Right. It seems like it's a worthless statistic. It doesn't mean anything.
I definitely think you have a valid point, and I think that the networks are blown at a little out of proportion considering how long it's been since they've been in the finals together. But, you know, it's something that just is saturated into sports tradition, and people who know about it, they know about it. And like I said, if you're a Laker fan, if you're a Celtics fan, it's just something that's understood. Like Lisa said, too. Believe me, people in Boston, sports fan in Boston, yeah. Do not let stuff go. They will hold grudges.
The most storied rivalry in NBA history.
It's a classic rivalry, one of the greatest rivalries in sports. And, you know, the country seems to be kind of re-energized by it.
You know, Kobe Bryant, you know, 29 years old, and a guy like Andrew Bynum, who's barely getting out of his teen years, they certainly know about...
He was in kindergarten when that happened.
Yeah, but the first time when the Celtics came to the Staples Center this year, do you remember they wore the short shorts and the high socks?
To remind people of 22 years ago?
Tipping their cap and remembering what was, you know, probably the most interesting era of the NBA. And, you know, like you said, even though Andrew Bynum probably was like, you know, a fetus when it was still, you know, important.
Yeah.
They're obviously recognizing it if they're willing to come out in their ball huggers.
I think the hype is what bugs me. I mean, I understand that there's of course memories, mm-hmm. of course. I mean, both franchises and fans. But I don't know, 22 years ago, it seems like. And Boston's been bad for so long.
Yeah.
Let's go to line 8 real quick. We got Rick calling us from Lake Forest talking about the rivalry. Does it exist or not? Or is it just in the imagination of a few people out there? Rick, what do you think?
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Bitter rivalry. I mean, when I was growing up, that's all it was. Those were the two teams.
Right, I know. When you were growing up, I know.
Yeah, so it takes me back. I mean, now it's like seeing those teams come back together. It's like, you know, nowadays they have before it was Robert Horry hitting the three. Back in those days, it was Michael Cooper.
Right, of course, but you don't see Kevin McHale, you don't see Larry Bird, you don't see Danny Ainge. Those are all the players that you grew to hate in the 80s. Yeah. They're not back.
I'm telling you, though, as someone, me personally, I've always had season tickets with my family, and I grew up and came to maturity in the era after.
I've always had season tickets.
No,
better
but
than everybody else.
I'm just saying that you understood, even when both the Lakers and the Celtics didn't have dominant teams, when the green and white stepped on the floor, it was special. You hated them.
Yeah.
You know, when you see guys in Celtics jerseys as a Laker fan, you just understand that those are the enemies.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree.
All right. You're wrong, Rick. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Let's take one more before the break. Let's try John in Los Angeles. He's on line 6. John, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Look, this is my thing. I love the Lakers. I hate the Celtics. But to say that there's a rivalry, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, first-year Celtics.
Right.
That's impossible. How can they be a part of any kind of rivalry with the Lakers? Kobe Bryant, Derek Fisher are probably like the only Lakers really who've been there long enough. Also, if there was a rivalry, there would be a part of any kind of hatred. Yeah, they step on the floor with the Celtics. You hate them naturally, but there's no rivalry. They haven't played enough, especially in the playoffs. You know
so
what
that's
I mean?
When it gets important, they haven't played in so many years that the rivalry has to be dying down a little bit. Let me ask you guys to believe that there's a rivalry. You think they're overhyping it? We could agree on that.
I definitely think that the networks are doing their part to blow it a little out of proportion. But, it, I mean, come on, can you blame them? They're just trying to garner up as much ratings as they can. That's their job, you know? And I think that if they can use something like that where you take two of the MVP of the league versus the new trio of dominance in Boston, they're going to play that up as much as they're going to play up this tradition and the rivalry, you know, that lives on now and 20 years later.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your call.
Talking about whether Celtics-Lakers is still a rivalry. It's been how long since they played together in the NBA Finals? What did you say, 20-something years?
1986-87.
So the players who are going to be taking the court on Thursday were kids, yes. Essentially, back then. So how much of a rivalry is it? Get a lot of email on this topic, by the way, and we'll get to your phone calls in 1 second. Ollie writes in, hey, guys, I grew up watching Larry Bird, always hated Magic and the Lakers. You're right. There's no current rivalry. But when the Celtics win the championship, it'll be that much sweeter and hopefully the beginning of a new era and a new rivalry, says Ollie.
F Ollie. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. Here's Kobe Bryant.
Yo, adds more fluff, you know, for this week leading up to it. You know, all the classic games and a lot more to talk about about the series.
What I'm saying is true. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
But many of the people who in these last couple weekends went to see the Indiana Jones movie are 15, 13, 12 years old. They weren't even alive when the last Indiana Jones movie was there, but they understood that it's a major, major, major Hollywood powerhouse and it's something special, just like the Lakers and Boston Celtics rivalry. A lot of the people who are both rooting for and are on the court playing weren't even alive when it was a major, major rivalry, but it's something that they understand.
Let's go to line 7. Jeff is in Elisa Viejo. He wants to weigh in on this topic. It's the Kevin Beach on the World Famous Carrot. Jeff, thanks for holding on. What's going on?
How's it going, party people?
Good.
Hi, Mayor.
Hello.
All right, so I'm 24. I was born in 83, and I remember watching games with my grandfather. He instilled the hate of the Celtics. It's not the players. It's the entire franchise.
I can see that. I mean, I kind of have that feeling as well. I hate the Knicks. I hate the Celtics. But, I mean, does it fire you up about this series?
Oh, I'm totally fired up about this series. I mean, it's...
But wouldn't you have been anyway? I mean, you're a Laker fan, so you're totally fired up that they got back to the finals, right? It wouldn't have mattered who they played.
Well, even any Boston sports team, no matter what sport it is, I can't stand. I always root against them to lose. I can't win the Boston Red Sox swung. I just about had several.
Yeah. What did you do with all this hatred for the Celtics, though, in 1989 and 1990 and then 91 and 92 and 93? And then it goes on and on and on for decades. I mean, didn't it eventually fade out when it wasn't relevant anymore?
No, because I was happy they were sucking.
Yeah, well, there is that.
You gloat. That's what you do for those 15 years. You gloat.
For some of them.
Yeah.
Not all of them.
Let's try Carl in Playa del Rey. He's on line 4. He's looking at it from the player's perspective, and I think that's worth mentioning, too. Hey, Carl, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Great listening to you guys.
Thank you. I'm
around the same age group, I think, that you guys are. I don't want to state ages, but I remember before the ABA, and it's always been the players. It's never the town. People like to attach a town to it. But you got to earn that either love or hate relationship through a lot of playing and interaction and the players themselves. I mean, if it was the 60s, you have Wilt against Bill Russell. It was the Sixers against the Celtics. And, you know, Wilt goes to the Lakers in the 70s and then becomes, you know, Lakers and the Celtics. I mean, the towns kind of, you know, piggyback the players' rivalry.
But there's no rivalry here.
Kobe Bryant hates Ray Allen and vice versa.
Yeah, but
well,
that's not...
They had that tiff. They had that tiff. I mean, they both say that they totally worked it out and it's fine and they don't even think about it anymore.
Even if it was accurate, he just became a Celtic this year, right? Ray Allen?
Right, correct. He was
the
a Sonic,
first
yeah.
year. I mean, yeah. That doesn't make a rivalry just because Kobe hates a guy and a guy hates him,
if it's true. Exactly. It doesn't.
You know, professional athletes, I think they have a way of just going out and playing their game regardless of who steps on the court with them. But at the same time, the Boston press is writing how weak and soft the Laker front line is. And I'm
guaranteeing now there's a rivalry.
Something is going to happen in this series. You're going to see it's going to become contentious again. And a lot of it's going to just develop out of the fact that it's Boston and Lakers. I'm telling you.
Is some of it just that, what you just touched on, Mike, that it's East versus West, too, that there's always a built-in natural rivalry between Los Angeles and New York, for instance, or San Francisco and Boston just because of the time zones? I mean, nobody hates the Midwest. There's nobody out there going, stupid Michigan, I can't wait to destroy Detroit. You know what
yeah.
I mean? But there is something about the fact that it's the East Coast, which is a natural rivalry, maybe.
Yeah, and also the teams seem to represent those towns and their given styles. You know, the East Coast teams tend to be a little bit more traditional and hard-headed, where the West Coast teams are a lot more flashy. and fast-paced and, you know, have good-looking players.
Want to talk to somebody in Boston?
Sure.
Please.
Sure.
Matt?
Hey.
Matt, 24 years old.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Haley's Matt.
Hello, Matt.
Thanks for checking in on the internet. We appreciate it. What's everybody saying in Boston? Is the rivalry alive?
Well, I mean, it depends on who you ask. I, in my age group, and I say lower. No one cares. Like,
right, you're 24.
Right, I was 3 maybe the last time they played.
Right, so you don't even remember the rivalry.
No, not at all.
But haven't you been taught to hate the Lakers by your parents?
Ooh.
Because we've been taught by ours to hate you guys.
See, the thing is, we have kind of, I don't want to say better things to do, but the Yankees kind of take up a lot of our time.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, they take a lot of your hate.
True.
Yeah,
sure, that's true.
Yeah.
Good point.
What's the feeling, besides obviously how exciting it is to have your team in the NBA Finals after such a long time, is the conventional wisdom on the street that the Lakers can be beat?
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty much a lock from where we're coming from.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear. Fantastic.
It's a lock. And if there's one thing we know about sports, it's that locks are easy. Yeah. All right, the game starts Thursday. It's 2 games in Boston. We said that wrong earlier. I apologize for that. 2 games in Boston, 3 games here, and then 2 games in Boston.
Yeah.
So that's how it works, and it all begins Thursday.
Speaking of the Weezer, by the way, the new Red album in stores today if you want to pick it up. Have you guys heard the song that talks about the wreck of the Evan Fitzgerald? Have you guys heard any of that from the new Weezer album?
Shut up.
Only the clip you played for us here. Listen
to this, Ralph. Read it and weep, Gordon Lightfoot fans. Here's Weezer.
Gordon Lightfoot sang a song about a boat that sank in the lake at the break of the morning.
Oh, I love him so much. How great is that? Because it's awesome. Anyway, new Weezer today. Radiohead greatest hits in stores today and the latest volume of Now That's What I Call Music, number 28. Those are the big releases. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Tuesday morning now at 7:56.
See, it's good for me because I had all these the new CDs and DVDs I was going to talk about, and then I had clips from the new Weezer album I was going to play. But this way,
I didn't know any
this
of
way,
that.
That's all
sorry.
Taken out of the way. It's good. This is good. This is all just now I can move on to other things.
Makes
I'd like to worry
easier,
about that.
Right?
I would
exactly,
like to play any other clip except for the one Bean played. Well, he only likes that because people died in a boat wreck. You got anything else?
I do.
Okay.
First, of course, we've been playing this a ton on K-Rock. Of course, you've heard Pork and Beans.
Right? I'm going to do the things that I wanted to. I ain't got a thing to prove to you.
How about this clip? Everybody Get Dangerous. We've also been playing this on K-Rock because on the new Red album.
Everybody get dangerous. Everybody get dangerous.
Do they say booyah?
They do say booyah.
That's the best.
I'm glad to hear the spin doctors are working again, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Funky little vibe to it.
Booyah.
This is a song that Weezer calls the Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's
the
name of it?
Of their band.
Oh, okay. All right.
What Bohemian Rhapsody was to Queen, the greatest man that ever lived is to Weezer.
I'm the baddest of the baddest.
Sounds awesome.
It does.
It sounds really good.
And here's another one last little clip. This is a song that bassist Scott Schreiner sings lead vocals on, which is a rarity. You don't hear that too often. This is called Cold Dark World.
It's funny. You had 4 clips. None of them talked about the Gordon Lightfoot song.
Didn't put any None. Edmund Fitzgerald in there.
Well, you clearly missed the highlight of the album. You know, I gotta remember what gas station I went to where I bought the last Weezer album when it came out from that guy selling them out of his trunk.
Yeah, God forbid you should spend the $7.99 or whatever it is at Best Buy.
The Weezer. You like the Weezer?
They're an awesome band.
They are, and it's a great timing too. A Weezer album in summertime with the windows rolled down and it just cranked up on your stereo. It just makes for great driving music. So good stuff. Also, it's Tuesday. It means new DVDs are in stores today. You can pick up Semi-Pro if you missed it in theaters. The 2-disc unrated Let's Get Sweaty edition is available today.
Let's Get Sweaty. This is Jackie Moon, baby.
Meet the Spartans. That hilarious comedy based on the 300 and other spoof movies.
From a dude that one time watched 300. Is that?
Yeah. This is the Pit of Death edition is available today.
Sam Anderson?
And TV shows on DVD available. The third season of Weeds comes out today.
That's a great show.
As does, in preparation for the feature film coming out later this month. Get Smart, the complete series, available on DVD.
Finally!
How about that?
I have it because it was available strictly through Time Life DVDs. They sometimes will release things that aren't available across the board, so I got it through Time Life previously, but now it is available in stores everywhere, and it is hilarious, especially the first two seasons of Get Smart. Really, really a funny, funny show. If you never had a chance to see it, you should pick it up, definitely. And, of course, Steve Carell plays Maxwell Smart in the upcoming Get Smart movie, which comes out on the 20th of this month, I think. It does look great. With Anne Hathaway, who is smoking hot,
yes,
Kevin.
A nine, yeah. Kevin.
I'd give her hot.
Yeah, what's wrong
no.
with Kevin?
I'd give her six.
I don't think she's that good looking.
I'd give her hot.
You didn't give her hot yesterday.
I guess
you said
a six.
Not attractive yesterday.
I don't think six is hot.
A six is better than average.
It's not hot.
What's wrong with you? You said not attractive yesterday.
Yes, you did.
Yesterday you said not, those words, not attractive.
Yeah, that may have been an overstatement.
But
you guys give her too much credit. That's what I'm
saying. No, she's way hot.
But what I don't understand is you were basing that on her appearance Sunday night at the MTV Movie Awards where she couldn't have looked any better.
She looked horrible. I didn't think she looked good at all in that dress. I really
don't know who we're talking about. You're thinking of somebody. I know you are,
listen,
Kevin. You're
thinking Jennifer Hudson.
I know that's true 99% of the time, but I do know who we're talking about this
time. You're thinking Jennifer Hudson. I'm telling you, she's not a big fan.
Anne Hathaway's black, right?
No. See, that's the problem. That's what I'm talking about. You know who is hot? Gina Gershon.
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
A new Vanity Fair article says that former President Bill Clinton had an extramarital affair with her.
Oh, that's the best news I've ever heard in my life, ever.
They say Gina Gershon and also billionaire heiress Belinda Stronach and also a member of the Canadian Parliament.
Dude.
Now, meanwhile, this article written by writer Todd Purdom said that there are none of these wisps of smoke have produced any public fires yet regarding the stories about Bill Clinton's affairs. So in other words, he doesn't have any real factual evidence to back it up. He's just pretty much printing rumors that have been heard about Bill Clinton sleeping.
Really?
With
so he doesn't know? It's just
no.
He heard it somewhere.
It's kind of a marked up article, quite frankly.
It is. I'm really so surprised that he could get it, that Vanity Fair would publish it without any kind of corroborative evidence.
It's pretty much a guy saying, "Hey, I heard Bill Clinton slept with these people." And it's getting a lot of attention.
You know why he can get away with it? Because who would it surprise?
Nobody.
We'd all go, yeah sure. I'd like to
but
think
the
of
timing our... seems a little hinky.
Well, sure, that's true. That
you
is
know,
true.
In terms of the current election situation, it seems like someone's trying to.
It certainly does. Yeah.
Is there anyone more bummed out in the country that Hillary Clinton's not going to be president than Bill, who just felt he had to have looked at it like, I'm going to have so much free time. It's going to be awesome.
He's going to wreck his way through the world governments.
That's right.
Still going to be in Europe, honey. I'm representing America the best I know how.
Yeah.
Ooh.
No, it wasn't.
That's my impression of Bill Clinton.
Make that sound again. And speaking of Vanity Fair, you can read a new article with Angelina Jolie, a detailed interview with her in Vanity Fair.
No.
She's not hot.
Did you
stupid.
See the cover of the magazine?
She's ugly.
Have you seen that picture of her on the cover of Vanity Fair?
Yes. I find her attractive. I'm not saying it. Dave the King of Mexico doesn't think she's
she
attractive.
Looks
good.
Like unearthly. Angel. Yeah, just ridiculous. And she's got mom boobs, you know, because she's got the twins she's working
sure.
on. And she's got the twins, all right. She's just out of control.
I sent it to Dave, and I thought at least he'd be man enough to admit, okay, in that picture, she's gorgeous. I can't argue with that picture. Nothing.
Wow.
Still, not backing down one
scroll
inch
down.
From this position
scroll
that she's
down.
Over.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
I showed that to Dave. He said, it's a magazine cover. Everybody looks good on those.
I don't think Dave would.
And then I showed a picture of Sarah Jessica Parker. On a magazine cover.
Yeah, and that's all it took.
Much said.
You win.
In this article, in the interview...
Horse and Feed magazine.
Angelina talks about the tabloids, her mother's passing on adoption, how she's going to raise her kids. But I thought it was interesting what she said about parenting. She said, to your surprise, you end up hearing yourself saying all those cliched parent things your parents said to you, you know, you thought you'd never say. Especially, I don't care who started it. I'm here to finish it. One of my personal favorites.
Ralph, did you see what the bidding is up to for the photos of the twins when they arrive?
I did not.
I saw on the news last night that there's a bidding war between People in this country, I guess, and either OK or Hello, one of those British celebrity magazines, that the bidding, and Angelina's already said the money's going to charity, it's up to $15 million.
What?
For photos of the twins, for the exclusive rights to photos of the new babies.
And the new babies are going to look like every other baby.
Absolutely, yes. $15 million.
Oh, dude, lame.
Wow.
That's nuts. I mean, really, right?
Nuts. Really?
I'd pay $50 million to see where the babies come out of. But not for the actual children.
That's crazy.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Anderson Cooper. Newsman from CNN is 41 years old today. The ladies think he's dreamy.
They do, and they're undeterred by the rumors of his gayness.
He doesn't feel the same way about you, ladies.
Allegedly.
Kerry King of Slayer is 44 years old today.
Why are you the yin-yang twins all of a sudden?
There's a whale beached somewhere that needs to be rolled back into the ocean. And, of course, Denise Williams, legendary singer-songwriter Denise Williams, very popular in the 80s.
I don't remember what song she did, though, Ralph.
Kevin, I'd have to say her biggest hit was probably Let's Hear It for the Boy. From the Footloose soundtrack.
Yeah. 95, DGC, I still love that song. From Nisi, almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
Yes, that's Bean.
Bean's an asshole.
That's Bean, and that's good. That is good.
Did you just finish up that day's work, Bean? Go, yes. I nailed it today.
One, two, three, four.
Bean's a dick, oh, Bean's a dick. Bean's a dick, oh, Bean's a dick. Bean's a dick, oh, Bean's a dick.
Bean, what's wrong with you?
I'm sure I was proud of it at the time,
yes.
But certainly not so much anymore.
Can we hear it again?
You should have heard me today on the air, Mom. Oh, man.
Listen
to this,
Mom.
Crushed it.
Wait, here. Keep listening, Mom. Here I come.
Oh, that was me. Here I am again, right here.
Yeah.
Well, 95, BGC, I still love that song. From Nisi. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
Oh, my God.
Mom, you know how she's got that song in Footloose? I tied that in by saying that my foot was loose on the air. I'm destined for big things, folks.
He might have said
Bean
that.
Rocks.
Thank you, sir.
Just kidding.
Oh, come on.
Bean might have said that, but I can guarantee you from personal knowledge that his parents have no interest.
And they weren't listening, and they didn't care to hear the story either.
That's
absolutely true.
That's nice, honey. We have to go. We have to hang up now. I'm Ralph Garman. I want the showbiz.
Oh, really? You're having a party? You're going to have some kind of entertainment? Yeah, Coldplay.
Yeah, they're going to stop. No. Knock out some tunes.
That's about it.
Come by if you want. You know, cruise by.
Either way.
Kicking things off about 7.
It'd be about 4 of us.
Yeah.
The fewer, the better. Wouldn't it be awesome if there's just 4 of you sitting on the couch
yes.
in cold places?
Chris, could you just play some dinner music for us? Just keep things just low. Just some instrumental stuff. We're trying to have a conversation here. Thanks so much.
All right. Let's talk about the Internet Roundup.
Yeah.
We have a link up there. Ralph, tell us what this link is.
This is one of my favorite stories ever. This comes from Gawker.com. And what had happened was someone tipped off Gawker.com, said, you have to check out Craigslist in New York City. There's a douchebag on there in the personal section trying to find a girl. Mm-hmm. And his Craigslist posting was, Mr. Right is, I-Z, here waiting on you, just the letter U. And when you open it up, it was just one sentence. Listen, if you really want to get to know me, just send me a note. That was it.
Okay.
And then he followed it with 30 pictures in the ad.
30 pictures.
Yeah,
wow.
Pictures like this. Him wearing those great
Kanye.
Classic 80s sunglasses with the Venetian blinds on them.
He's wearing the Kanye West glasses.
Holding like a bunch of 20s in his hand to the camera like he's a playa.
I make it rain.
Yeah, here looking like Dave the King of Mexico here, holding some more 20s,
mm-hmm.
wearing a faded Joker t-shirt from the 1980s.
Yeah.
Here he's just flipping his finger to the camera because he's a badass.
Because that's how he rolls.
Yeah, here he is just holding up some more 20s to the
you
camera.
You can't even see me behind my 20s.
It's like he's got like $80 in his hand. He's showing the camera like he's Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Anyway, now, Lisa, does that work for the ladies if they just see pictures of dudes holding a bunch of 20s? Is that attractive
there's
at all?
There's really not a woman I know that
oh,
thinks
I'll
that's
Oh, I bet
hot.
There's some.
It's funny how Gawker says that he's included for some reason what looks appears to be some unrelated wedding photographs that they can't even find him in. 30 pictures in this ad. So someone tips Gawker off. They take the photos off Craigslist and they publish them on Gawker, because
awesome.
Gawker's one of these websites just likes to, you know,
snarky, F with people. Basically.
Yeah, F with people. Well, he finds out, the guy, Mr. Right, in the photos.
The dude with the money?
Finds out.
Yeah.
And he calls the Gawker people and starts threatening them with all kinds of violence and legal action and what have you, saying
Wait.
You can't use those photos.
These are his photos that, I mean, he posted them on Craigslist, which
yeah.
is
public and available for anybody to see, right?
These photos are mines.
he reminds them,
yeah. And they remind him, look, it's a public forum. Craigslist is a public forum. We just pulled him off, and we're a public forum. We're just reporting the story.
Right.
Well, he doesn't want to hear any of it. So they tape recorded the conversation they had with him, and then they posted the conversation on Gawker.com.
Awesome.
And these are some clips from their conversation with him.
These photos are mines, right? I posted it on Craigslist probably 3 days ago. I went to the website. It has my post, and people write comments making fun of my pictures. Some guy that posted, you know what I mean? He wrote funny things about me, and the thing is that he didn't ask me permission. That's the first thing. The second thing is I could press charges on him because that's fraud.
What?
Okay.
Fraud. I'm not sure he's a lawyer, but I don't know how that's fraud.
I posted it, and that's fraud.
Those photos is mine.
Those photos are mine. I
push on, black man, push on.
I mean, it's like if I take your picture of you naked and, you know, put it on a website, that's fraud right there. You know, I get girls pretty much. You know, I'm a young dude. I do what I do. I'm a producer. But my whole...
I'm a producer.
Oh, this guy
is produces
gold.
Photos of him being a douchebag. It's the only thing
wow.
he's produced.
It's the same as taking naked pictures of you and putting them on.
The whole problem is it's not because of that. It's because why would somebody take my pictures without my permission? It's like taking your... Social Security and using it without your permission.
Nope, it's not just like that.
It's not like using your Social Security number at all.
Really doesn't have anything to do with that.
And then people are joking on me. You see the comments. What girl wrote a comment there that is saying, oh, you know, he's a pretty guy, but they say he lives with his mommy. He got 600. What the f***? That's embarrassing. What happens if I walk in the sheets and they say, oh, look at that guy. That all he has. So come on, man. Like, that's... That's not cool. Like, I would punch the guy whoever did this, and I would him up because you don't do that.
That's battery, isn't it?
That's fraud. I think everything's fraud.
Everything's fraud, okay. Yeah.
So his complaint is that Gawker put up the photos and people made fun of the photos.
Exposed him for the a-hole that he is.
Exactly.
And people are making fun of him, and rightfully so.
He's one talented Negro.
Well,
what's going to happen is, before I do any illegal actions, they're going to take it off and say it never happened. But you know what? I'm 10 times smarter than these people because I'm going to record it right now. Absolutely. You see, it's not your fault, but I know how the business runs in New York. I know how it all runs, these people, how they do it. They play smart, but I'm way smarter. I'm going to call my lawyer, and this is going to be a problem.
He's 10 times smarter than the Gawker people.
That's what he says, and that's why he doesn't know he's being recorded.
This guy's not 10 times smarter than a brick.
Because I didn't like that. That's not funny.
Well,
it's a little funny.
He knows how business works in New York, though, Ralph. Come on.
He
knows
how it all works.
That's true.
He's a producer, for God's sakes.
So, Internet Roundup at the KRock.com and the Kevin DeBede section. That's where you can see the photos and hear the audio, and it's hilarious.
I'm unclear as to whose pictures they are.
These photos are mine!
All right, the Kevin DeBede Afro line is on the air right now, 323-520-AFRO. Thanks to Jimmy Kimmel for the name. We've had this answer machine up and running for years and years and years, and the KRock listeners have learned that if you ever have a thought that you want to share with us or the KRock audience, that's the number to call anytime, day or night.
And I especially love it when people come up with creative new things to say that we've never heard before.
Ooh.
I mean, that's fantastic.
Hey, Kevin, you should change your name to Frank. So it'll be the Frank and Bean Show.
He's
proud of coming up with that one, wasn't he?
Yep. Stanley Cup playoffs were on last night. Detroit Red Wings and Pittsburgh Penguins. Three overtimes.
Yeah, unbelievable. And with the Penguins, with their backs against the wall, they go home if they lose this game instead of living to skate another day. And the Red Wings win the cup, but that's not the way it worked out.
30 seconds left in the game. They were down a goal and they scored. 30 seconds left. Then it went to three overtimes and Pittsburgh won.
Oh, my.
I don't know if you guys remember the topic that we had a while back about who's tougher, football or hockey?
Yeah, so I can't remember who it was that said that football players are tougher than hockey players, but I just got done watching the Red Wings-Pittsburgh game, and Pittsburgh player takes a puck to the face, slap shot from the center ice to the face, blood's gushing everywhere, hockey wins.
Yeah, so there's a lot of blood on the ice in that sport,
took
that's
a puck,
for sure.
And then came back out and played. in the overtimes. Uh-huh.
You know, it's funny, speaking of shots to the face and gushing everywhere this morning.
Oh.
Thank you, Gene.
By the way, who else is waiting? Every game I tune in and I expect to see the announcer somehow frame this contest between Detroit and Pittsburgh as two teams, one cup. And so far, no one has done it. It's just hanging out here, just waiting to be done, and no one's done it.
They did bring out the cup in Detroit, and they showed the camera was like, the guy was like rubbing it down,
oh, yeah.
getting yep. ready to bring it out, and then they didn't win. It was the best. It was the best.
Lisa, you drive me mad. Oh, God. Oh. Batman!
I don't know what he's saying.
What's he yelling? I don't understand
I couldn't figure it out. I listened to it about five times. At the end, it sounded like he was saying black man. Or,
I thought it was breakfast.
I thought it was breakfast, too, or breakdance. What are the two?
Fake ass.
Omar just said to me that it's Pittsburgh. What does that have to do with Lisa, though? I can
I
see if that's
no
a
Pittsburgh
hockey
fan. Can we hear that again, please?
Yeah, sure.
I didn't.
No, no. That one. Okay.
Yeah! Pittsburgh! Yeah! Yeah! Oh, Lisa, you drive me mad. Oh, God. Oh. Pittsburgh!
I don't think he's saying Pittsburgh.
It's like talking to Bob Dylan.
Hey, dude, call back. We don't know what you're saying. We heard Lisa, but basically that's
it. I'd like to hear more.
What was the last song we played? Bean, was it the...
It was a Handlebars.
Handlebars, that's right, yes.
You guys are such assholes. You always do that.
What?
You play that stupid Handlebars song always before, like, a really good bit on your show. And I just know it's you, Kevin and Bean. It's just you and your sick, twisted mind. God damn it!
We didn't do it before this lame break. Oh, wait, yes, we did.
Laker flags are gay.
All right. Psycho Mike, thank you for calling. We're kind of like a confessional for our listeners.
I had to tell somebody, I do have a small wiener.
Aww.
Thank you.
Psycho Mike again.
Psycho Mike for calling. This guy's been around Barney too long.
I love pot. You love pot. We love to smoke it a lot with a light in our hands and a bong on our thighs. We love to smoke and get high.
Thank you for the call.
Hey, I think you guys just need to leave Lisa May alone. Lisa, I totally agree with you. Sex in the City is such a great show. And Sarah Jessica Parker is a beautiful woman. She doesn't look like a horse at all. Not!
Okay, listen. Listen.
It's back, dude. You can't
fight
it now.
You don't need to bring
Dave
not back.
The king has won.
He talked that dude into doing now. That. How dare you?
Sex in the City, liquor movie, huh? Oh, God, I hope Sarah Jessica Parker gets naked. Oh, God. Oh.
Check out, if you have time, Sarah Jessica Parker looks like a horse.com. Because
it's worth
it. Very, very
Bastard.
True. All right, coming up next, we're going to tell you how you can direct your own lesbian porn movie.
Oh,
wow.
Actresses included. Next. This past Thursday on Ralph Sex You, he brought us a very tantalizing story.
Remember those good old days?
About directing your own porn
good
film.
Old Sex University.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are good times.
Last Makes Thursday. Me miss Bill Clinton more than anything else that has gone on in the last 7 years is that we used to be able to do Sex You back when he was running things.
This is kind of like Sex You. This is the kind of thing I would do if
yes,
there still was a Sex You. But let's just pretend it doesn't exist anymore so we can just do this.
Tell us about this dude. Where'd you find him? How'd you find him?
Jerry contacted me because he remembered the good old days of Sex You and
sure.
said we used to talk about things like this and talked to me about his new company, which is called Penthouse Fantasy Productions, and they fulfill a need which has been
sorely lacking. Yeah.
And finally they have filled a niche in more ways than one, and I think this is a great idea, and I think we need to talk about it, and then I need to go do it.
Jerry?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Jerry. Can you?
Good morning. How
you doing? This is not affiliated with Penthouse Magazine.
No.
Okay.
This is our own identity. This is, you know, Penthouse, just a normal word.
Got it. All right. Penthouse Fantasy Productions. That's what I thought. I thought it was the magazine at first, and then I just wanted to.
The website, if you want to play the Kevin and Bean home game, is thepenthouseproductions.com. Thepenthouseproductions.com. Jerry, tell our listeners what it is you provide. What's this need that you filled?
Well, basically, it's pretty simple. Throughout the years, well, let me just put it this way. It's like going to the nudie bar with a loaded camera in your hand.
Okay.
You know what I mean? We're the new era of adult entertainment. So basically what we do is we have a facility, a private facility, where you come in, nobody to bug you. So I like to keep a more smaller, intimate type of situation where
right.
you come in, You just come in with a good attitude and your wallet. So what this is, that's all you take. That takes. So what you do is you come in, we supply everything, camera and all, you know, put a DVD in and start directing your own DVD. So instead of, you know, like the norm, usual, you know, nudie buddy, throw your money out, but we have a place where, you know, you can fulfill that idea you always had.
You provide the place, you provide the camera.
Yes.
You also provide the girls, if I'm not mistaken.
You provide the cast for your movie, right?
Correct. Everything that you can think of is there. You don't have to bring nothing. It's just there.
So the set, the camera, the lighting, the actors for your own production, you get to make your own amateur adult film right there at Penthouse Fantasy Productions.
Right there. That's it. And, you know, and after you're done, you just take it out of the camera, throw it in your pocket, and go share it with your friends. Wow.
So this is Girls Gone Really, Really, Really Wild is what you're doing.
Really wild, yes. And, you know, we provide that facility. So it's a cool atmosphere, you know what I mean? It's neat. It's, you know, it's like we're the new version of the Bunny Ranch type deal, but without the guys involved.
Mm, right. So you can't have sex with the girls, but you get to film them interacting with each other.
Correct.
Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm only interested if there's a fully adjustable sex swing.
Funny you should ask, Kevin.
You're in luck, Kevin.
How about that?
Jerry, I'm sure you get asked this question the most, but why is it lesbian scenes only? Why no dudes allowed?
You know, to me, my personal opinion is, like, I don't want to see no sausage fest or anything like that.
I like it. Jerry just wants to see girls make out.
Dudes don't really want to see other dudes.
Women look hot. You know what I mean? They're just beautiful. They're just beautiful women. You know, I'm just, that's why I say, you know, you can't see a guy stripping opposed to a female stripping. You know, it just doesn't look right.
I hear you. So basically, you're going to get some other guy, me perhaps, to pay for the girls to make out, and then you're going to be there watching?
I'm just there, you know, looking over everything, making sure you're taken care of. Because he's quality control.
Guiding everything with a firm hand.
Sure, and to make sure the ladies are safe, too, I'm sure.
Of course.
Especially when Kevin shows up. You don't want to leave him alone in a room with women. Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you about that because, I mean, this is an opportunity for a guy to not only make a movie, but he gets to be the director. He gets to come up with the plot line, dialogue, if he wants, I assume. I mean,
dialogue.
I'm just saying a guy could if he wanted to. Am I right, Jerry? If a guy wanted to.
Only you would want to.
I'm saying if a guy had a fantasy of something that he wanted to do and he wanted to have the girls in outfits and act something out, he could do that, right, Jerry?
The homosexual is right.
That's what we're there for.
Now, what about a guy like Kevin, and he's a perfect example, he signs up for your service, and he shows up, and he has a wild fantasy that involves girls in fireworks. Would something like that be allowed?
No fireworks, I'm sure.
That's a tall order right there, but you know what? We can make it happen.
We can work it out, right?
We can make it happen.
I'm only interested in doing this if there's a stripper pole.
We got two of them for you,
How about that? All right.
If you want it, we have both rooms if you need.
Jerry, I was thinking when I got your email, this would be a great event to do for bachelor parties. That's what we do.
We do bachelor parties, corporate, private.
So I can bring in, like, me and a couple of my friends who can all sit around and kind of direct the movie together.
That's it, man. You know, have fun, or you know what? You want to take 15 minutes out and shoot a little pool if you want. This is like the ultimate lounge. I mean, it's a private facility where, you know, where you want to be.
Wait a minute.
Why are you moving in?
What's wrong with you? Why would you shoot pool for 15 minutes?
Unless it's a euphemism.
Party. I want to take a break. Cool off a little bit, whatever it is. But you know what? It's there. You know, I mean, that's just a little bonus. But, hey, you know, we try to work out every little angle that we can. You know what I mean? For the average Joe, the normal guy like you and me, they come in there and feel like a rock star.
All right. How much does it cost?
Okay. Right now, we're starting off at $250 per show. Sometimes we'll run, it's kind of weird sometimes. Sometimes we'll run the 2-hour show, or sometimes we'll just run all night long. It depends how we feel, what kind of atmosphere we have. If you guys came by and said, hey, can we just hang out the rest of the night?
So it's $250.
$250 for 2 hours?
It starts up, but not a solid 2 hours, because you could go from one room to another room. So, you know, say if you want, because we have three private rooms. So if you wanted to take two girls that you like a lot in one room, or maybe four girls, or just one girl.
Is it a tipping situation? It has to be more than that.
They work a lot better when they tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know what I mean?
I see.
So these girls, because
that seems cheap.
Yeah, it does to me too.
Yeah.
And inexpensive, both, by the way. Right, both.
But it's not cheap. But what other place can you go, hey, instead of buying a DVD or a porn, well, you know, we have the facility, well, you make your own.
Now, I'm not sure the legalities of this, Jerry, but how explicit, how involved can the ladies get with each other while you're filming?
Anything goes.
Wow. Yeah.
Really?
This is the greatest business ever.
Because it's an adult movie, right?
I guess so.
An adult entertainment. This is a production company, an actual production company.
Can I disrobe?
Oh, God.
Can just, Kevin work in the nude as well?
That's a good question.
That's, how that's legit. That's how I work best.
I don't think I can stomach
no.
it then.
I don't think you could either.
What if I bring my wife or girlfriend with me to the production and she wants to jump into the action? Is that allowed?
Oh, wow, man. Well, so basically, it's just the girls itself.
I mean, the girls you've hired. Okay.
Like, you know, the females and the males are just the same because these girls are aim tested as well. So, you know,
I got you.
Game.
All right. Good, good. I just wanted to make sure I knew all the rules before. Okay. I went there every day for the rest of my life.
This is where Ralph's going to move in.
That's right.
I want you to start talking about Pluto, please. Both of you. I want one of you to say Pluto's a good planet.
Could you pretend you're the Postmaster General? And say the following nine pages of dialogue I've written out for you about the rising cost of stamps.
I may do that. I may hire Jerry. I may actually go make some sort of a postal fantasy.
If you get a call from Bean, you might want to turn that down.
All right, let me give out the website again for folks who want to check out what Jerry's all about. It's thepenthouseproductions.com. And this unbelievable set that you've described with all these rooms, the executive lounge, the master bedroom, the blue room, the brown room. By the way, the brown room generally makes me nervous on a porn set.
I do not want to go in there.
The master bathroom. Is this an actual movie set, or is this somebody's house that you're using to film your movies, Jerry?
This is an actual studio.
It's a business. Studio, okay.
So basically, I think of it as a club, a private club.
Fantastic.
Okay.
I want to be a member. And so does my member.
Ralph, you have to make a movie. You have to go down there and shoot.
Yes!
Ralph, you got to come by, man.
Jerry, I'm going to come down and
do a fake birthday for you. How about that? To make it a little bit better for you.
I'm going to come down and shoot a little production, Jerry. We're going to test you out and see how things go, and then I'll report my experience back here to the K-Rock listeners, okay?
There you go, sir.
Wow, you're a giver, Ralph. That's what you are.
I'm a researcher, you know.
You're a giver.
I'm an investigative journalist.
Yes, you are.
All right. Why don't you check us out this weekend at the Erotica?
Erotic LA? Okay.
You're going to be down there too? Okay, good deal.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. We appreciate it.
Penthouse Fantasy Productions is at thepenthouseproductions.com. Jerry Acuna has been our guest. It sounds to me like we'll be back in touch again when Ralph shows up to film his movie. But thanks for the time today, Jerry.
Thank you, sir.
I'm really uncomfortable with women being here. Why don't you two leave?
I gotta get some female superhero costumes for my movie.
Be by myself.
Okay. Iron Woman.
You're Batman and you're Robin.
These poor girls don't have Tuesday morning, Ralph is here, soon to be a filmmaker, for now, doing the showbiz beat for us. What's going on?
I really should just give up my dreams of mainstream show business and just go into porn.
You really should.
I would be an excellent porn director. I would.
I think you would be. You're clearly not going to make it, so you
clearly.
Might as well.
So you might as well. Just give up my dreams and move on.
We are dream crushers.
Speaking of dreams going up in smoke, they finally know what started the fire at Universal Studios.
Lindsay Lohan? Ooh.
Not Lindsay Lohan, no.
She was there that same day, and she does have the fire crotch.
Apparently, workers were using a blowtorch on the roof of a movie set building facade, and the torch was left on.
Is that bad?
It is when it ignites an entire movie studio. Yeah, that's they were using the blowtorch to adhere some asphalt shingles to a roof. They stopped working around 3 a.m. They said they followed the policy of standing watch for an hour to make sure everything was fine, and then they left. And that's when the fire broke out, reportedly around 4 o'clock a.m.
Oops.
Of course, it did burn the King Kong attraction, the Courthouse Square from Back to the Future, New York streets that were used in Transformers and Spider-Man 2. And so it's all gone. What they filmed it. They did last time at a big fire at Universal.
They filmed it?
They got cameras out and actually filmed the facades burning because then they could use it in later productions as stock footage of New York being on fire and that kind of stuff. So.
Somewhere out there, Ralph, there's a guy possibly listening to this show who is the dude who left the burner on, essentially,
and
now is responsible for millions of
dollars. Something.
They called him at home. Did you leave? No, it wasn't me.
Marty, I can't send you back to the future. The courthouse is on fire.
Nice.
Well, not a lot of call for that one.
No, I like to break that out when I get the opportunity. So it's
been a while since we've done the phone topic of the Kevin and Bean show. Oops, my bad. But it may be time to bring that one back as a result of this young man.
And part of the problem, too, was the water pressure was low. And so they couldn't get all the water pressure to the flames that they were trying to get. And I take personal responsibility because I remember I was taking a shower about that time.
Using a lot of water.
So I was using a lot of water. And that's why I did it. Now I moved to the Valley. I ruined their water table.
Way to go, man.
My bad. Kelsey Grammer's in the hospital. Apparently he had a heart attack in Hawaii while paddle boating. Or paddle surfing or paddle whatever. Boarding. Paddle boarding, I guess they call it. He was in Kona, Hawaii, his second home. He was experiencing some chest pains. They flew him to Honolulu, and it was determined he had a mild heart attack, but the LA Times says he's expected to be released today or tomorrow. So apparently he's okay, all things considered.
Well, that's good.
That'll get you. That'll teach you to exercise, Kelsey. You've been sitting on a couch watching television. Your heart wouldn't have seized up on you.
Bingo.
That's Beans. That's Beans theory. Save all your heartbeats for later.
I don't want to take any kind of chance that I might get hurt or sick or something while I'm moving around too fast.
That isn't good for you.
And the Hollywood Reporter tells us today that the cast of The Simpsons have reached a deal with producers of that television show. A new four-year deal with the cast members that will bring the voice talent $400,000 per episode of The Simpsons.
Nice.
I'm sorry. Per season.
Per episode of The Simpsons.
For the whole year, $400,000 just to read a script into a microphone for a whole season.
One check, $400,000 for each show you do. You get a check for that amount.
Is that the most?
It is the highest paid wage on television.
I'm number one. Victory is mine. So kiss my behind. Boom, chaka-laka-laka, in your face. Boom. Who's your daddy?
They are great, and I guess, as crazy as that sounds for a couple of hours' work a week, I guess the show makes $1 billion, so why not, right?
It must, yeah.
It must.
Merchandising, DVD sales, syndication, it's keeping Fox afloat, more or less. Today's celebrity birthdays, Anderson Cooper. He's 41 years old today. You know him from CNN. Kerry King of Slayer.
Oh, no!
Is 44 years old today.
I tried to hit him in the nuts.
I wish you would.
Why'd you hit him in the face? His nuts isn't
our
problem.
Blocking.
It's
true.
It's his mouth that is causing the trouble. His
that
nuts are causing no one any harm ever.
My bad.
Except his carpet.
Jeez. There was such positive energy in this room just a few moments ago.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
The only thing being bothered by his nuts are his carpet at home.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, but stop.
It's the mouth that offends.
Stop saying that.
So start hitting the mouth.
All right.
Less nut, more mouth.
Will do. That's what she does. Is that going to be the name of the movie you're going to make this week?
That's our motto. Less mouth, more nut.
Well, it's a lesbian movie, though,
sure,
so it really is
true.
Less nut, more
less
mouth,
nut,
actually.
More mouth, yes.
Right. You've got to name your movie that now, Ralph.
Coming to a theater near you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, Craig Irby from Anaheim won tickets for Coldplay at the Forum. Those tickets go on sale this Saturday morning at 10 o'clock for their show July 15th. He's also eligible for the drawing that he hopes he wins if Kevin and Bean call him Monday morning and say, hey, Coldplay's playing at your house. That's what's up for grabs. All the details at KRock.com and your chance to qualify on the way from the world-famous KRock.
Did you know that Michael Jackson was supposed to perform on the final American Idol? He was set to perform and called 24 hours ahead of time and said, I can't do it.
Ooh.
How would they have had to bump ZZ Top or Bryan Adams to give Michael Jackson a chance to come out?
Yeah, because you don't want to bump either of them. So Michael Jackson said he had stage fright. Now, this is a guy who's
been on stage since he was four.
He was on stage when he was a little kid. He's been on stage his whole life.
Yeah.
He says, quote, I can't do it. Everyone will hate me.
Wow. Everyone already hates him. It doesn't have anything to do with whether he comes out on stage or not.
It doesn't have anything to do with American Idol. I can tell you that right now. It has to do with Jesus juice and little boys.
Yeah, of course.
That might be why people don't like him.
Well, and he's a freak. I mean, to be able to sit and actually look at his face for a length of time, we haven't done that in a long time.
How could he possibly be afraid? Like. I mean, honestly, how could he be afraid?
He's looked in the mirror?
Yeah, it could be.
Well, he's looked at the man in the mirror, come to think of it.
Nice.
We asked producer Alex to line up the great Michael Jackson. It almost made my foot loose.
Come on.
Michael?
Get out!
You okay? You all right, buddy?
The man in the mirror.
Yeah,
see, because that's
songs.
One of your songs.
That was one of my songs.
That's right.
That's why that's funny, see?
So, what's all that racket in the background there?
It's not racket.
What is it?
What is it? What's
it's
going on?
The water dripping off the walls of the cave I'm in right now.
Are you hiding
why
in a cave?
Why are you in a cave?
I'm hiding.
Because you're afraid?
I'm afraid to be in public.
Yeah.
Why
but
do you think...
I'm hiding in a cave.
Right.
Like Osama bin Laden.
Right. That's what it sounds like. It doesn't... I mean, I don't know how that helps anything. I mean...
Because I can't dare be in public. I'm afraid everyone will hate me.
Now, is that because of your horrible plastic surgery or because of your child abuse charges?
Neither. Because of all the lies and stories that have been told about me that are lies and stories.
Mm.
And people believe them and then they turn against me and I'm just overwhelmed by everyone's negativity.
Michael, when you have done best, when you have benefited from your talent, is when things seem to go well for you. Why not make a good song or make up a new dance or go on tour and make people happy? Why not have give people music to talk about rather than all the craziness?
You make up a new dance, Michael.
Make up a new dance? Okay. Now, the electric iguana.
Like you do sometimes. You used to be an innovator in music and dance.
I made one dance, the moonwalk. That's it.
Yeah. Right, but now you don't do anything. Now you just show up at UFC in a burka. Why don't you get out there and start doing music or video or something and give people something to talk about?
I'm afraid. I'm scared.
I'm scared of?
Just being in public.
Yeah.
Everyone will hate me.
Because of your horrible plastic surgery?
I missed out on so many things that I was going to do and had to back out of last minute.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, American Idol, the finale.
Right.
I was supposed to do that. I had to back out the last minute.
Scared.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to be John McCain's vice presidential running mate.
Really?
Yes, but I had to back out because I couldn't face him.
Yeah.
He wanted someone to make him look blacker. So he wanted me to be vice president.
Because you're more white than he is.
I was going to co-star in the Sex and the City movie.
What?
But well, I that doesn't back make any out sense. At the last minute.
What were you going to do there?
I have a fear of horses.
Oh, no.
I was once kicked by a horse on the Neverland Ranch.
I can see that.
Every time I see Sarah Jessica Parker, I wet myself.
That's a normal reaction.
I can understand. Yeah.
I was going to join the Meet the Kardashians cast.
You're not a Kardashian.
By joining the family?
They were going to adopt me. I was going to be the sixth Kardashian.
Wow. Huh.
And then Bruce Jenner and I could compare plastic surgery.
Right.
Yeah.
Mistakes.
Yeah. I was going to fight Kimbo Slice last Saturday night.
You were not going to fight Kimbo Slice.
I was.
Your ear would have exploded, Michael.
I was going to fight Kimbo.
You were not going to fight
Kimbo. I was going to fight Kimbo, but I didn't want to be seen in public.
Yeah.
I was going to carry Clay Aiken's baby, well, but I backed out at the last minute.
Why?
He's gay.
Too gay?
Yeah.
And I decided not to take the job as Universal Studios fire safety inspector.
Well, that maybe you should have thought about it.
Yeah, maybe I should have done that after all.
That was a bad choice.
I
couldn't have been there. Yeah. Good.
Michael, what's it going to take to get you out of this funk and get you right with God again?
More man in the mirror jokes, I guess.
We're fresh out of those. Sorry to let you down, Mike.
Get out!
Well, that's all we have.
Peace!
Thank you. Bye now.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
How about a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advance screening of a little movie called The Incredible Hulk, coming up on Thursday, June 12th. You won't like him when he gets mad. Plus, a pair of tickets to both days of the championship off-road racing this Saturday and Sunday at the Fairplex in Pomona. All of that for you if you call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air for Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew.
All right, let's begin with Edgar in Lincoln Heights. Good morning, Edgar.
Good morning. What It Do, Nephew?
What It Do.
What It Do.
What it do, baby boo Lisa?
Hi, Edgar.
What's going on?
How you doing? Long story short, we went to the Coldplay concert last night at the Jimmy Kimmel Live show.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
5 hours in line, you know, didn't hurt, feet weren't killing us. Coldplay finally comes out, Jimmy Kimmel introduces them. Somebody shouts out, "I'm effing Ben Affleck," right?
Sure.
And the whole crowd just goes into a mad hysteria of laughter.
Right.
And Chris Martin looks over at Jimmy Kimmel and says, "You know what? As someone's wife who once dated Ben Affleck, I find that very offensive." Everybody starts cracking up.
Was he being funny?
We were all cracking up. I was like, I can't believe he said that. But you know what? For someone who was listening to a show yesterday morning, he found like this new sense of humor.
He has always had a sense of humor.
Yeah.
He may not have come around that way, but he really has had a sense of humor ever since we met him.
I think he hasn't been really comfortable enough to sort of show that side of him because he's kind of a shy, nervous guy during interviews. I think finally now he's getting comfortable enough with his fame that he can kind of open up and be himself more.
But Edgar, do you think he was kidding when he said that? I find it offensive.
Oh, of course.
Obviously. He was. Okay. Totally.
That is awesome.
That's awesome.
I love him.
Thank you for the call on that. Great show and everything. You guys have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
We were talking earlier today, Ralph, and I think you'll agree with me. My point was that it's funny that when Gwyneth Paltrow, who was a pretty big star at one time, Oscar-winning actress, magazine tabloid fodder, when she married Chris Martin, she was kind of the more famous of the two. And I think it's reversed now. I think Chris Martin is now a bigger star than his wife is.
I don't know about that. I think they're more even. I think at one time Gwyneth was much more famous, but now I think they're more sort of pulled even, especially with Iron Man this summer and everything.
Right. Yeah. But don't you feel like kind of what has really built her up this year besides Iron Man is the fact that she's married to Chris Martin? I mean, I think that's a real positive in her column.
Sure.
Could be. Let's go to Cindy and Whittier. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Listen, I work with a bunch of guys, and when I can, I sneak it on K-Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And they find it offensive and nasty, and they think I have a dirty mind.
Oh, yeah. I want to work with you.
Do you work with a bunch of flimsy men?
Yeah, what's going on?
They listen to country stuff. What can I say?
You need a new job.
Yeah, hello.
Hate it. I fall asleep sometimes. But anyways, when I was going to the mini roast, they thought I was going to go view penises somewhere.
Well, you didn't you?
Well,
later in the evening.
You missed the after party then.
Am I warm? Are they just retarded, or
could be both? Could be warped, and they could be retarded.
You work with rednecks.
They call me whore. It doesn't offend me, and I'm not. Right.
You're our kind of girl.
Good for you, Cindy. Yeah.
Thank you, Cindy.
Might find a position for her here on the show. And by position, I mean
sure. Let's go to Boogie in Burbank.
By all means,
hey Boogie.
Hey, what do you guys?
What do you do, Boog?
dude. Ralph, I got the perfect idea for your lesbian movie.
Good, because I'm writing it as we speak. I need some help.
Okay, the two stars that you need that everybody will like adore,
yes.
or not adore, but would watch a movie would be Miss Cleo and Charlie Marley in your movie together.
Oh, wow. Charlie would do that in a second.
Even Charlie Marley like laughed at the idea. So, I mean, I think she's up for it.
Charlie
really
definitely is up for it. Trust us. Behind the scenes here, Charlie's been hitting on Cleo for months now.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to get Cleo to sign off. That's all.
Dude, like the picture with Miss Cleo kissing Charlie Marley gave me that idea for the lesbian.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Well, we asked the guy a little while ago if you could bring your own actors, Ralph, and it sounded like he wasn't necessarily up for that. But,
I'll just run him out and get him tested and bring all the paperwork, and maybe they'll cut us a break.
I like it.
If you bring him the paperwork, you think that's going to be the result?
Michelle in Culver City, good morning.
Hey, I went to the midnight showing of the Sex and the City movie.
Uh-huh.
All girls up for it. And when Big and Carrie got engaged, some chick started bawling in theater. Bawling her eyes out. So everyone's into it. They're like, okay, she's going to stop after a few minutes. No, this goes on for like 5-6 minutes.
The girl kept crying for that long?
He was crying that long. And finally, someone says, shut the hell up. And everyone in the theater starts clapping. I guess the chick was embarrassed because she walked out.
Nice. You do not want to make a theater full of women mad.
She probably had some personal issues that might have touched.
Didn't they get engaged at the end of the series?
Oh, who cares?
Well, they didn't get engaged, but he did reclaim her.
Oh, jeez.
What are you talking about? He reclaimed her. What does that mean?
Because she was with this Russian guy in France.
He fished her out of the river
in New York. And got her.
Richard in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Morning. Morning, guys.
Hi there. What'd it do?
I'm coming in regards to that girl from American Gladiators, Gina Carano.
The chick that fought on Saturday night on CBS?
Yeah,
she was hot.
She's way hot.
She's too hot to be fighting like that.
No, she's hot and she can fight. She's got skill, too.
She's got real skill. She only trained for like 3 weeks, right?
Yeah. She was shooting American Gladiator and she had her...
Dude, she was overweight and everything, too.
Yeah,
yeah, overweight in the fight game is 3 or 4 pounds.
Right.
But, she was... I was rooting for her just because she was hot. I'd never seen her before.
144, she's a pretty big girl.
Yeah.
But she's all muscle.
How often is that CBS show going to be on? It's not an every Saturday night thing, is it, Ralph?
No, I don't think so.
I think it's only a one-time thing, wasn't it?
They'll put together another card, I'm sure. I don't think it's going to be a weekly thing, though.
Because I kind of feel like I missed something by not seeing that show. It seems like it was very entertaining.
I missed something by watching it, because I recorded it, and it ended before Kimbo Slice, so I didn't get to see that.
I was watching Kimbo Slice, and I said to myself, how does John Singleton not hire him to be the new B.A. Baracus in the A-Team movie?
What a great
idea.
He
would be the perfect B.A. Baracus, role that Mr. T played
in
the A-Team movie. He looks just like a badass.
Who's the boxer, though, that we had on that really wants that job? The one who's, like, his whole life he's...
we had Quentin Jackson, I think, on. We were talking about.
That's what was it?
Quentin? Oh, Rampage.
Rampage
yeah.
Jackson.
Yeah,
yeah, he because I think he would be perfect for Mr. T.
He
as
would,
well.
But he said he couldn't do it because of scheduling
right.
problems.
Right. All right. Thank you for those calls, people, and thanks to our special guest Jerry Acuna for joining us. If you heard the interview a while ago about how to make your own lesbian porn movie, you can do it now. The website is thepenthouseproductions.com. Thepenthouseproductions.com. And I think Ralph was serious about saying he's going to go down there and make him one.
Yeah.
He is. If you have any questions, it's Ralph at krock.com.
Could you write right. some dialogue for the girls, please? Because I want them to speak a lot and do very little.
You mocked me, but most porn movies have at least some sort right. of setup dialogue
and
to get into the fantasy.
That is the worst part of the movie. That's
I don't even watch
forward.
Those films anymore. Now I just go to pure scene after scene hardcore because I cannot okay. tolerate that BS.
Well, you make your movie and I'll make mine.
I will
can
watch Ralph's
porn movie. Oh, sweet Jesus.
I will watch
no, Ralph's. No, you're in the Edmund Fitzgerald and it's going down. No, no, not you. You don't go down. The boat's going down.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We've got Sustainable Dave checking in with him.
Would you
yes!
stop it?
You know what that dude does? There's a lot to do with him.
That dude throws stuff away.
He doesn't throw
Why
stuff away.
Why don't we call?
Good point.
Just the opposite. How did you miss the whole point of all the time we talked to him?
See, that's why we need to talk to him again.
Why don't we call Brazil and see if they've heard of Sustainable Dave
all
and
right.
just put it all into one
We may do that
combo.
As well. Funny man David Alan Greer in the studio tomorrow. We are going to talk to a K-Rock listener named Mike who had dinner with Megan Fox and Marissa Miller and Megan Good.
Oh, wow.
What's up with that, by the way?
All three same dinner.
I wouldn't be able to eat.
I wouldn't either. And he was interested in meeting some male celebrity. I don't remember who it was, but that's all he cared about.
It was a Spike TV television award. I don't know what they did recently, but he said the thrill for him was meeting Harrison Ford and Hugh Hefner. That was the big deal for him. As exciting as it was to sit at the table with all those ladies, he was actually starstruck by the dudes.
Gaywad.
Also tomorrow is LaQuisha talking about A Shot of Love 2 with Tila Tequila. And did you see
her?
That
has to be over, doesn't it?
Did you see her at the MTV Movie Awards? She is deteriorating by the hour.
She's foul
in
every
level. I mean, she's about to melt into nothing. She looks horrible. Can't imagine she was ever famous for anything. Also tomorrow, Jenna Fisher. She first plays Pam from The Office. She's got a new movie coming out called The Promotion, and we're going to talk to her tomorrow as well. And we'll continue to give away Coldplay tickets and qualify you for a chance to for the band to play at your house.
Good
Back
deal.
To you, Bean.
All right. Kat Corbett up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Why not stick around for the only one? It's the latest from The Cure. Also, Nirvana Rise Against. We got Muse and the latest from The Offspring as well. All of that straight ahead right here on good old K-Rock.